The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah. Like that.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron.
And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Welcome to PFW in Progress, Thursday afternoon, Gillette Stadium, Ravens week. That means it's time for a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. Sunday night football in America. Should we call ourselves Thursday afternoon lunchtime in America or something like that?
Sure, why not?
Seems to be the new thing. Like everybody, you know, Thursday night football is our, in New England, our football block of shows with Quick Slants and Patriots Football Weekly.
Which conveniently is tonight.
Tonight! And you can see Paul Perillo belly up to new old friend, old new friend, I don't know how you phrase it, Dion Branch back again. And he is the interview with Paul Perillo on PFW in Progress PFW TV tonight, 7:30 Comcast.
If you want to get set up for that at 6:30, Uno Sports tonight, I'll be dropping by for that as well.
So it's a night of Paul Perillo on Comcast Sportsnet tonight.
Oh, you know what that means? It is early snooze for everyone on the couch. Fall asleep. Although the good news is you have Tom Curran to jack it up in the middle. Woo! Get it all fired
up. You watch
up.
Paul, then you can turn on NFL Network and watch the game.
That's true. Paul can lead you right into the Thursday night game between the Giants and somebody else on the NFL Network.
Carolina
Panthers. Cam Newton, the MVP, according to Fred Kirsch, will be on primetime TV tonight. But that's enough talk about other teams. It's a big week, Paul.
And you can tell by the babbling that we are without our captain.
Do you want to host? You want me to host?
No, I'm just...
Because if you want to host, I'll get out of this chair. If you want to run the show.
I was making fun of us, not just you.
If you want to run the show, I'll let you run the show.
No, I think you're doing a fine job.
Shut your pie hole and set the table like Fred does.
Again, as you can tell by the babbling, we're without our captain. Fred Kirsch, playing hurt today. I figured you'd have five shots at Fred for playing hurt.
Fred did indeed have hernia surgery. He's trying to explain to everyone why he's had such a large belly over the years. They tried to sew it up, but for my first glance, the stomach's still huge post-surgery.
Now that's what I'm looking for. Can you just give me what I'm looking
talking,
for?
You have even to when, shut
even,
up.
Even when he was walking around with an ice bag on his belly for, you know, the hour that he decided it was a good idea to come into Gillette Stadium post-operative and try to do a regular day.
Coincidentally, on the same day that his new dental chair arrived.
Yeah. He looks like Stephen Hawking. He's got this chair that goes way up over his head.
I'm not sure that's appropriate.
Why, the truth is never, the facts, I mean, that's what it looks like. It looks like one of those wheelchairs that has the massive headrest around him. I wasn't making fun of Stephen Hawking for being in a wheelchair.
I know you
were. And James Pettigrew, don't start doing the audio of, you know, being offended Stephen Hawking calling in and yelling at Andy. But Fred Kirsch not here. Eric will be by later. He is taking care of his duties in terms of updates and practice report. Paul and Andy just out of the Patriots locker room. And I agree with Fred. Definitely a less loose locker room this week, although we usually find out more about that on Friday. That's the one that really kind of sets the tone for the weekend.
I agree.
Some of the players talking today were the big guys up front on defense, Jerod Mayo, Vince Wilfork, Chandler Jones. Obviously, it's a big weekend for the Jones family, as everyone knows. Chandler meets Arthur Sunday night, but on Saturday night, pay-per-view from Toronto, Bones Jones, looking to defend his title for, I don't know, fifth, sixth, seventh time in a row. So if you're looking for that, $54.99 on pay-per-view if you want
to. Because you wouldn't go to see that. It's a lower class
of
people.
No, no, you
want to
be at home so you can separate yourself from the masses, according to Fred Kirsch. But, yes, that is, I'm sure that's going to be played up, I would think, on Football Night in America and all the pregame shows and the
weekend. That's certainly what the topic in his scrum today
was. As it should be.
Was a lot of
it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, literally, you're never going to see something like that again, I would think. I mean, although I did find it interesting, Bones Jones said that Arthur is considering going into UFC when he's done playing football because he's not really a star. You know, he was a fifth-round pick. He's a backup defensive lineman. Now, I think that's even more interesting. You know, a guy that's going to have a decent little NFL career here already thinking about joining the brothers' profession in the UFC. But I do want to talk a lot about Patriots-Ravens today. We've spent a lot of the week, and I'm going to read an email right off the bat. Our friend Shy from Appleton says, please, God, do not talk about Welker versus, and he/she, whatever it is, writes, anal men. I don't know if that's an intentional joke or not. I'm hoping it is. For another show, could you talk about the Ravens, or the very least, inappropriate dreams, or breasts? Well, I'm sure we'll get some breast talk in there at some point, but we do. I want to break down this matchup. Found it interesting. A lot of the talk, you know, very multiple was the way that Gerard Mayo described the Ravens' offense, and I think that's kind of a different way of saying what I've said all week, that, you know, this is their first real test, where you have to stop a running game, you have to stop some tight ends, you have to stop some receivers, you have to stop a possession receiver like Bolden, you have to stop a big play threat. Well, I mean, it was the first play of the year they went to Smith, right, for like 52
yards. Yeah.
So, I mean, across the board, you have to defend the field. Everywhere, you know, this isn't just
all levels.
Stop Larry Fitzgerald and we win, and stop Chris Johnson and we win. This is left to right, front to back, north and south, east and west. You have to defend the whole field. Paul Perillo, are they up to the challenge?
It's going to be a big challenge. I think that Baltimore is still a work in progress with all these different weapons that they have. I don't expect Baltimore to come in and run roughshod on the Patriots defense. I think the defense is going to experience a little bit more adversity in this game than they have in either of the first two. But I don't expect Baltimore to, you know, put 35 on the board, you know, barring a disastrous kind of turnover-filled game.
And they're not that good.
They're not at
Patriots
that level
yet. Proven 35 points a game, boom.
That's what I mean.
But they can challenge you. And
they have the
plays.
Pieces. They have the pieces.
I mean, they have a running back that could go 80. They have a wide receiver that could go 80. They have a tight end that could certainly go 50 or 60. I mean, they have
two very good pass-catching tight ends. One of the best possession receivers of all time on the outside in Bolden. A really intriguing speed, you know, kind of guy in Torrey Smith. So you're right. They have the pieces all in place. The offensive line, bit of a work in progress. I think the no-huddle offense, bit of a work in progress for them. I think it'll get better the more they do it. But, yeah, and Vince Wilfork talked about this today, and he flat out said, you know, we're going to have to play a perfect game to win. You know, that he has a lot of respect for the Ravens. He said all the things, you know, Ray Rice and how great he is. I think what Baltimore has done effectively in the first couple of games, Andy, is really pick their spots well with Rice. He's got a very high average per carry. He's been around 100 yards in both games. He hasn't been, I don't think he's been to 100 yards, but he's been around 70, 80 with, you know, has he even gotten 15 carries in a game yet? I don't think he has. So he's really doing a good job of maximizing his opportunities. I would expect the Patriots to focus on him. I don't know how you feel about it. I think he's the number one guy that you have to stop first and then try to make it a one-dimensional game.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the usual Cam Cameron offense where the running back rushes for 1,000 yards and catches 100 passes, you know, plus or minus. He was at 80 last year, 77. But, yeah, that is the focal point of most Cam Cameron offenses in San Diego, in Miami, now in Baltimore. And he's good. It's not like it's just a guy filling that role.
Right.
He's elite. You know, Gerard Mayo talked a little bit about how he's hard to find because of his height, but he can hit you for the big play. He's a big running back in a little man's body. He kind of has the total package there with the ability to do it all. So, yeah, I think you always start. When a running back is that good, to me, you start with the running back and you go from there. You move outward from there and back from there to Torrey Smith and all that. But for this secondary that people, you know, want to be better this year and I think hope has gotten better this year, this is certainly a big test. This is a game that could borderline embarrass them or set them back to last year's kind of expectations. I don't expect that to happen because, The one thing, as I've talked about ad nauseum, is I think you've got more stability at safety. And to me, that's been huge.
And I agree with you. I think that has been a huge difference. And, you know, in between last year, there hasn't been those guys just running free.
Right.
Across the middle. You know, when guys have caught passes, for the most part, there's been someone there to tackle them pretty quick. It's, you know, hasn't been perfect. There's been some guys.
Todd Heap was pretty open.
Yeah, and he was pretty open on some plays that he didn't make the catch on.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, he caught a lot of passes while being pretty open, and there was others that Cobb couldn't hit him. So that's why what I think Andy's talking about when he says this is a team that has some different layers that they can beat you on. Arizona had some opportunities and just couldn't do it. They had another one on a third down call. They had a little swing out of the backfield to Stevens Howling that Cobb threw right to his feet out in front of him. I don't know if you remember that play, Andy, but they had the whole sideline there. I think that might have been a first down. It might have been a touchdown.
Okay, beyond the Ravens-Patriots on the field matchups, I do want to put another topic on the table that relates to the game. Any of you that listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub in the morning, Toucher and Rich, may have caught the interview with Bernard Pollard, safety for the Ravens, who, by the way, sounds like he's going to play based on the interview. Last week, he left the game with a rib injury. James Ahedebo, old friend, had to step in. Sounds like Pollard will be back. And we all know the easy story with Pollard, Patriots killer, Gronkowski, Brady, Welker, blah, blah, blah. But today, he took the opportunity in another market to really go off on the replacement officials. And it was the first player that I think, in my opinion, has generally gone off like this. You know, I know the Ravens were kind of had their opinions be known after last week's game with the questionable pass interference call, but that was directly to me related to the game and a call.
Right.
This was Bernard Pollard saying, you know, the referees are starstruck. He has seen people, you know, he used an example. One guy was in awe of Joe Flacco, and he said, well, what if that had been, you know, Tom Brady or Tony Gonzalez or something? And he also, to me, the most glaring thing, and I actually talked to a few players in the Patriots locker room about this, and their eyebrows really raised when he said, you know, the referees are intimidated by the players. They're afraid of them. This isn't the lingerie league. You're going against big men, and when they get angry, he said it seems like the officials react to that and maybe pick up a flag or throw a flag. So now you're just flat-out questioning their ability to do the job at hand. And it's a great interview, and I would urge you to go to the 98.5 website at some point and listen to it. But that topic's on the table, and we actually have an email that I think kind of goes the other way based on just my skimming it early. But this is from Alex in Philly, and he says, by the way, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, if you want to email in or if you want to join us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, it's 508-298-0398. We are live in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. What's that Dunkin' Donuts one? Do I have to say that? Oh, no, that's for the pregame social. So I get all the sponsors in. Now, more importantly, we'll get to the emails, because that's been a criticism of late, Paul. Do you see those emails? People saying, I got a great idea for a show. It'll be email-driven. People didn't like all the phone calls early this week with people venting. So we'll try to stick to as many of the emails today, although I do see calls starting to line up. Let me get to one email, and then we'll hit the call bank. Hey, guys, this is Alex in Philly. I have to go on a rant about the replacement refs. I'm so sick of people, the players, and the media blaming the replacement refs for everything. The worst are the game day commentators who mention the presence of the replacement refs every moment they can, always bringing up that this replacement ref is former high school teacher or a farmer or a truck driver, and everybody has their own. I do find that funny, too.
I'm so on board with this
email. But what I find is funny is, like, all these guys are run-of-the-mill jobs, but the real refs all have, like, their doctors, their lawyers. It's like this class delineation between the officials, but that's a side thought. Everybody has their own week-by-week grades of their performances with all of these varying opinions. Is that really necessary? I know these guys are not as good as the regulars, but come on. Were calls not missed last year? Were there no delays last season? Were there no injuries last season? Clearly, the replacement refs are the scapegoat for everything bad that happens this season. Since that is the case, let's just blame everything on them. Yes, injuries, missed calls, delays, war, crime, famine, death is all the replacement's fault. The real reason why Welker is seeing limited reps, replacement refs. The Hernandez injury, replacement refs. The O-line issues, yes, replacement refs. Who really shot JFK? You guessed it, the replacement officials. Okay, rant over. Quick question, is Brian Waters dead? If not, he should be on this team because this O-line is starting to blow. Still not freaking out about the loss to the Cards. The Pats lose one of these trap games seemingly every year. Most recently, Bills and Browns. So let's not blow up the team yet, Pats fans.
I think that's an email that I'm really on board with. I don't think that the replacement officials. I don't think the replacement officials are doing a good job. But I don't think that
morons. I've got morons on my team.
What's that from?
I don't know.
I kind of liked it though.
I think
John in South Carolina. He sent it in, and I thought it was kind of funny. So
no, it is funny. It is funny.
I've got morons on my team.
I think that they are. There's been much more of a spotlight on them, much the way Alex just explained in terms I've never remember the announcers so talking. I mean, I understand it's a storyline. That's why they're talking about it. But they did not scrutinize the calls the way that they do now.
And as I told you the other day, or I might have said it on here, I don't understand it. These are the NFL's partners. I think they should be trying to emphasize that they're putting a quality product on the field. Watch our games. This is the NFL. It's the best there is. And they're not doing. They're undercutting the league by criticizing how bad the replacements are.
And I can feel that way and still think that the criticism of the official of the replacements is valid. I mean,
you hate all officials. You're very consistent.
I do. You're absolutely right about
you
that.
You think
I'm not
regulars played like replacements?
I'm not being stubborn. I'm telling you, you're right. I always do that, but. We've seen like the situations where they can't even spot the ball properly. They're showing you where the ball should have been and where they put it and stuff like that. So I'm not saying that the criticism is not valid. These guys aren't as good as the regulars. But Alex is right. We complain about the regulars too, but they don't complain about the regulars on the broadcast the way they do now. They don't have segments on Mondays on ESPN the way they do now. And there's been a lot of calls that have been affecting the outcomes of games over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good situation. It needs to be done. You heard Bernard Parlett talking about it on one station, on the other station today in Boston, roughly at the same time. Jerry Markbright, longtime official and a former head of the union and one of the referee trainers who was let go this year, was just absolutely eviscerating everything about the replacement officials. It's just getting kind of tiresome. They need to fix it.
Well,
we can all agree on that. And I agree with Pollard's thing about the intimidation factor. That's sort of what you and I have been talking about the last couple of years.
It's getting worse.
They seem to be affected by the situation.
But
the crowd reactions are affecting what they do.
The players are realizing the envelope that they can push, and they're doing it more and more every week. Coaches are doing it more and more. And I generally agree with you. Right up until I watched the Monday night game
was a definite.
I don't want to offend anybody, but as they like to say, that was an abortion. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
The Monday night game
was
a tipping point to me.
They lost all control on the field. Not only was player injury, you know, that's the first time I actually thought it, because I thought a brawl was going to break out.
I stopped watching the game because I was tired of waiting.
That was the biggest embarrassment I've ever seen. So, and I think it's getting worse, and I think it's going to continue to get worse. And I don't know what's going to be done about it. I mean, the NFL doesn't seem like they're ready to cave in. And, you know, I've been kind of back and forth on, in the negotiation, who I support, because I support the NFL wanting extra crews and the ability to swap out crews if they think a crew is doing a terrible job or whatever. I think everybody on all jobs should be held to a certain standard and accountability.
That's so the 21 officials they want to
implement. I agree with that. And that was a point that your guy Mark Bright was, you know, guys are held accountable. There's been guys that have lost jobs. You know, there's been guys. Okay, tell me, did 17 lose it last year? 5? You know, over the last 5 years, how many have lost it? You seem to be very vague, Mr. Mark Bright. The other issue, this whole pension thing, I actually fall on the players. If when they were hired, they were promised a pension, then they should have a pension. Keep the pension, and then the new officials don't get it. Anybody who's hired, these new 21, the 5 that replace
every year.
And
that's all they want, right? They just want to grandfather
the NFL refuses to do that. I now believe the NFL is just trying to break the union. They're just trying to squash them like grape. Mm-hmm. We're the NFL. I'm Goodell. God complex. Damn it, I am God. Yep. Squished like grape.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Until the owners tell Goodell what the F are you doing, nothing's going to change. We're going to continue to have replacement refs ruining games.
It's one of those things, too. You know, just because the NFL can do it doesn't mean they should. You know,
right.
Sometimes you're in a position of power and you can get away with things. And, you know, and that's what Mark Bright said. Why are they doing it? Because they can.
Right.
And it's just not a good situation. They need to rectify it before you get too far along here where you can't really make a seamless transition. You know, and it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. But I just.
We need Fred. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
We'll see. Another thing before you move on to another topic, we should add that Kellen Winslow was available in the locker room today, and he spoke at length. And were you close?
He answered my question.
He did.
I asked him, A, how is it that you have this terrible knee that everybody agrees is a terrible knee and that you play 16 games every year? And he said, Will. I just go out there and I do it. And I said, so am I to take that you play in a lot of pain? Yes. Okay, I got my answer. The knee is a debacle and he just plays through it. So that's the reasoning behind that. But beyond that, he said, I thought he was interesting. A couple times he kind of said, yeah, there are similarities between me and Aaron Hernandez. Didn't really kind of get into him. He called Hernandez one of, if not the most versatile tight end in the NFL. And he said his job. He also said the Patriots, quote, use tight ends the way they should be used. Big shock there. The guy's happy to come to a team that tight ends last year caught 167 passes for 2,000 yards and all those touchdowns.
But the funny thing about him is he can't complain about that.
Right.
In his career, he's always caught 70-some-odd, but Pat, I think he averaged 70 catches.
Right? Oh, yeah, he rolls out of bed. When he's healthy, I think the lowest he's had is 66, maybe. But, yeah, he just said, you know, he's working as fast as he can to get up to speed. I get the vibe. He didn't say anything about it. He didn't even say we'll see in terms of playing Sunday. But his facial expression, I think he's playing Sunday. I think he's going to have a role with this offense on Sunday, just totally from reading a facial expression.
Yeah, I didn't read the entirety of the transcript, but I thought it was interesting. Did you? I don't know if you saw. I think Belichick was asked about guys that come in like that late.
Is that all the Mike Tomczak stuff?
Yeah, and I thought, I mean, if you know, he had a pretty detailed explanation of a quarterback coming in and playing at the last minute. But he thought, you know, he credited, well, that was a bad team, don't forget. Really bad team. So
did he get shut out too?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they did.
I don't know the details of the game. details, Andy. But I'm just saying, if you could play a quarterback, you know, cold, I think you find a way to play a tight end.
You know what I'll find a way to do? I'm going to find a way to eat a lunch provided by one of our great all-time callers, the leadoff caller, each and every week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, our good friend Jeff Rowland. No, swimming in money in Vegas.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Tremendous. How are you?
That'd be great when that lunch comes.
Yeah, I hope Kevin did it up big. I gave him an unlimited budget just because of all the winning, so I hope he got like a surf and turf. And
he didn't tell us that.
I was not informed of that.
He didn't tell us that. I ordered my Norma tuna sub.
I knew you.
No, guys. I hope you got the absolute max. I told him it's just unlimited. Just
so maybe you'll just have to
as much as possible.
Okay, we'll book you for next Thursday too. You'll do two lunches.
That's quite generous, Jeff. I'm glad for your winnings.
Yeah, lock it in. Well, I was
last
year. I was able to start out 13-2 last year. This year, I'm 5-1 so far. So maybe we should do it every week.
Yeah, you have no spot in the NFL. You're supposed to be 1-1 at this point, like the rest of the league.
And that's the way Fred Kirsch likes it.
Right.
You should have seen Fred and Andy arguing about this the other day.
But you don't feel very good about this week. We've already come to that conclusion based on your call earlier in the week, huh?
Yeah, I'm betting the house on Baltimore. I don't like the spot, and you know, like you alluded to earlier, they're not. They don't have an amazing offense, but I'm worried about the crowd. We squeaked by in the AFC Championship game last year, and then that was that overtime game in Foxborough.
Yep.
It was about 2 years ago when the defense really bailed them out, and then the undefeated season, Baltimore really should have won that game at home in 2007. So,
and then that other one, that playoff one that we don't talk about.
Oh, yeah, and that one.
They did win that one easily.
Vince Wilfork was more than willing to talk about that game today, by the way.
Yeah, well, that was the only time they've ever defeated Brady. I mean, they, you know, they talk about how there's a rivalry. That's the only time they defeated a Tom Brady-led New England team. Just, I think it was Castle. Maybe
that's the only time they ever beat the Patriots, period.
And it's the only one that wasn't an absolute dogfight.
They're 7-1, I believe, the Patriots are against. 7 or 8-1 against Baltimore all time. Yeah. That's the only loss.
I don't care about those. I was at one of those in 2000, I think.
Yeah, now when I say bet the entire house, that's an interesting topic because, again, I grew up in the 70s. Like, you know, you have these listeners that are like, well, I've been listening since last October. That's great. I've watched every single New England game for the past 36 years.
How old are you?
So I'm 43. Yes.
Wow.
So do the math, as I say.
You started gambling at 7? You freaking loser.
And I would have had you pegged as being much younger than me.
Yeah, I think I'm about your age, Paul.
Yeah.
I think I'm from Linfield. I think I'm from the next town over.
Yeah, I'm not from up there. I'm not a high and mighty roller like you. Linfield is a very posh suburb. I don't live up there. I'm from Everett.
Yeah, well,
I'm from the city.
Yeah, I got sick of shoveling the snow, so I just came to Vegas. So I've been through all the hard times, and I wasn't like all my other friends were like Cowboys fans and Steelers fans. I went through all the bad New England Patriots times. So, again, I know, Paul, you've been, what, with the team for 14 years, the longest tenured scribe in all of that covers the team, correct?
Mike Reese would be probably longer than me because he was. I took his job here, and he's still covering the team. So I would say he's the longest.
For one organization.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I look at it as a bad thing, but that's okay.
Right on. Super quick plug. Having a lot of fun on the Twitter feed. It sort of has the pregame social feel here, sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts. The Jeff at Jeff Vegas 12 Twitter feed. Jeff Vegas 12. And also, guys, I oversee the social media strategic content department for the Eye Candy Dancer Show in Vegas at Planet Hollywood. Follow them at Eye Candy Dancers.
You getting anything from any of those Eye Candy Dancers?
Well, it's funny you should say this. On two fronts, Andy. One, it's one of the hottest Twitter accounts in the entire country. It has a clout score of 60. We only have like 400 followers, but the followers are so influential. My dentist just knocked off like $1,000 off my son's orthodontic bill. Yep, if he'd be the official orthodontist of the Eye Candy.
Imagine this guy's a father.
Yeah, my son Tyler's 14. And on in the second part B of your question, there are 10 amazing, female dancers, three great vocalists, and one of them, Amy Toliver, she commutes back and forth to Grand Canyon University in Arizona. She risks her life every Monday night after the show. She leaves at 1 a.m., drives all night to go to school the next day. She's a nursing student. So
more importantly, she's hot.
Don't
muddy the water with the details. They all got nice tatas, and that's why we want to follow them.
Yeah, definitely, guys. And just for you guys and select listeners, I just got a host at Planet Hollywood. I can get 70% off for any PFW on Progress host and or true New England fans.
So nice.
We're finally getting the respect we deserve, and there's going to be no excuse for you guys, including Fred Kirsch and Kevin Collins, to get out here in Vegas someday soon.
All right, Jeff, we'll talk to you. Jeff in Vegas.
Thanks
offering
for the lunch,
70%
Jeff.
Off at Planet Hollywood for PFW scribes and
in
listeners.
In all seriousness, that's a great deal. You go out there and you say you're a PFW in Progress listener, and you hear Jeff all the time.
70% off?
70% off. That's a great deal.
I'd rather get something from the Eye Candy Dancers for saying I work on PFW in Progress. But, we'll work on that moving down the road. Even I know they're trying to pay their way through school. And they're
That's like the
classy broads.
That's the cliche right there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to nursing school. I only do this so I can be a nurse.
A nurse?
Putting myself through medical school.
Talking about strippers?
Yeah.
By the way, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but isn't your wife a nurse?
Yeah.
So are you saying that's how she paid for school?
Well, when times are tough, sometimes even now.
Is that how she met you?
Sometimes even now,
Were you
her
favorite lap dance?
I tell her, you got to get back out there. You got to get back out there, honey. We need a little cashish.
WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. That was Jeff in Vegas. For you, those of you that like him or for those of us that he bought lunch, great caller. For those of you that hate him, I apologize. He was on for quite a bit, but we did make him wait to get on the air. Just because he bought lunch didn't mean he hopped right on the air. He had to wait 14 minutes to get on this program with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Paul, I see a game coming in. You want to play?
Yes, very much.
You done chewing so you can play?
Well, I wanted to make sure I answered you.
Chris in England says he has an over-under push game for us. And this is this week against the Baltimore Ravens, Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a late start for the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. What are we, like a 6 o'clock
six,
start?
Maybe either 6 or 6:15, I was thinking. I don't know.
I'm assuming 6, right? Isn't it? What time's kickoff? 8:30?
I think it's
8:28?
Like 8. Yeah.
Or something in there? Okay. We'll let you know later in the week, even though it's our last show. We always have things up to the date and ready to go here on Patriots.com.
I think 6 sounds right, but I don't know.
Okay, Paul. Ridley carries 20.
I'm going to say under.
Starter, Welker, Edelman, or both?
I'm going to say both.
I'm going to say Welker, no Edelman. Welker receptions, 5.
Under.
Over. Chandler Jones, sacks, 1.
Push.
I'm going to say over, 1.5.
Okay.
He's going to get a halfy. Deion Branch's receptions, 2.
Over.
I'm going to take the over, too. He actually said that, you know, he's sure the expectation of the coaches is that he's ready to go on Sunday and contribute, and that's what he's planning on doing. We all remember last time he rejoined the Patriots, like 9-for-98 or something in a touchdown in that big, big win, which also included a big field goal for Steven Gostkowski, which is probably something to keep an eye on this week coming out of last week's 4 of 5 good game, bad game, depending on when you checked in with those four in the last one.
Right.
Brandon Lloyd targets. Diaz, 10.
Under.
I'm going to take the under, even though you would have had the over last week with 13.
Correct.
Patriots, 3 and outs, 1.
Over.
I'll take the over, too. It's not a great defense, but we've said sometimes when this offense doesn't drive 80, it does 3 and out.
That's how I feel about them.
Ravens points, 24.
Push.
I'm going to take the under.
That's, I mean, that's legitimately the score that I predicted.
Yeah, I'm just taking the under because the last two games were 23-20, so I'll give them 20. It's a streak. It's trending.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Replacement refs, terrible decisions, 3. I'll take the over. I mean,
yeah,
it's a
bet. I would say the over is the safe bet, but I just want to know who's making the determination.
Me.
Okay. Andy Hart's on the call.
I think I got a good chance to win that. Gostkowski points, 6. I'm going to take the over.
Over. Over.
All field goals. We're going to have a lot
touchdown
of field goal
and 3
points.
Field goals, right?
Okay. Oh, so you get them with 10 points.
7 and 9. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it 9 plus 1?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that 24-16 was my score. I was trying to figure out how we were getting to 16.
You have the Ravens winning, huh?
Yeah.
Paul Perillo tipping, and that's a topic of discussion this week, tipping his picks. Later in the show, maybe we'll talk some of that tipping, even though I think it's useless. And Gostkowski chokes. Thankfully, he's not listening. He's out at practice because I don't want him to hear that. 1.
Yeah, under.
I'll take the under.
He'll be fine.
He's going to be perfect. He's going to be booming kicks into the end zone. He's going to be splitting the uprights. He's my guy. I like him.
I agree.
I think he's a good guy.
I love him.
I think he's a little brittle in the brain. But.
Yeah, sometimes he says some strange things to Andy and I, but other than that.
But I'm pulling for him. Let's go. Did we? Wait. You know what we need to do? You know what Fred always does? Lunch is here!
Yeah.
That means we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Web Radio, Patriots.com. Web Radio, Patriots.com. Join PFW in Progress right after this.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Grok. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Grok. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Grok runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm going to make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo is involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
We are not going to talk more about Paul here on PFW in Progress. Thursday afternoon, as I said before, Ravens week. Game of the week in the NFL, AFC Championship game rematch, Patriots, Ravens, John Harbaugh versus Bill Belichick. I always get confused with those. Although he did make me laugh out loud last night in the Ray Lewis It's a Football Life, on NFL Network, which was very entertaining. Obviously had some Patriots because it was last season, so it ends in Foxborough with Ray Lewis coming up short in the AFC title game, but Harbaugh, when Lewis was hurt during the middle of the season.
That was very funny.
Is there any place you'd rather be? There's not. On the field?
No.
Oh, sorry about that. sorry about that. Got to see some Dean Pease working with Ray Lewis in the linebacker meeting room, and now Dean Pease, obviously their defensive coordinator that they will be facing, Patriots will be facing this week. But we're going to get back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. We'll see if we get any tipping talk here. Ray Horton, as we talked about yesterday on PFW in Progress at the end, was claiming about the Patriots tipping their plays, by their formations in terms of gun under center and all that. Much ado about nothing, so I'm not even really going to get into it unless fans bring it via email.
Yeah, and as we said yesterday, the stats really don't back up the claim. You know, they, and I went back and I looked, and I, Mike Reese's numbers, and I have no reason to doubt Mike's information because he's one of the only guys that calculates this sort of thing. He had 39 snaps out of the shotgun, Andy, 11 runs out of those 39 snaps. So almost a third of the time, they're running the ball out of the shotgun. That's not a good tip. And I'll say this, and we can move on. If you knew what they were running, why'd you allow 18 points? Why'd you put yourself in a position where you almost lost the game? Just to me, it was an example of a coach probably speaking in a manner in which he probably shouldn't have been.
Should we air the little soundbite from 24? Stop talking! Stop talking!
Yeah, I mean, just don't get
just,
it.
You know, leave the field. You did a good job. Your team did a good job, and move on. Move on to the next fight. You're 9-2 in your last 11. Your defense is holding teams to under 23 points all the time. Just let the resume speak for yourself and not you. So that's our advice to Ray Horton. Ravens game tailgating info. Who's this from? Oh, Johnny Himmelberger. Hey, I'm going to the game on Sunday. Was wondering if you had any info for Patriots fans. Also, what's up with that? That's the question. Well, I have some info. You know, the Patriots are going to play the Ravens. It's going to start around 8:30. Brady will start. Flacco will start. Flacco runs a no-huddle now. Ray Rice pretty good, too. And the Patriots are trying to work Deion Branch and Kellen Winslow into the offense. Is that not the information you wanted?
Probably not.
I don't have any tailgating information, Paul. Do you?
I do not.
Okay, good.
You've been to that area a lot more than I have, like the Inner Harbor.
I love it. Yeah. The place is great. You go down to the Inner Harbor, or they got like that mall restaurant two-level thing. You get some crab cakes. You walk around. You walk over to the game. You get a beer. You know, unfortunately, the Orioles are playing the Red Sox in Boston, so you can't do the double dip where you could catch a Red Sox-Patriots game. But in terms of specific tailgating at the park, I do know Baltimore is a place where you don't want to roam too far because beyond the stadium in one direction, there's a shady area, a couple other shady areas. Stay in the city. Stay in the bright lights in the big city there and don't do any field tripping off into the burbs because you never know what you'll find yourself in. But other than that, I would contact Barry Insiong on the how do you do it? F Corp or something, or Fred would know. Yahoo Group, Patriots, Tailgate, Barry,
Facebook,
email,
Twitter,
in, something,
MySpace,
Chris,
I don't know.
Go Kong. What's up with Brady's deep ball? I think some of the are combination
them.
Of both parties. Says the.
yeah, we make fun of Fred for this
fault,
now.
But there also seems to be a little drop off. Paul,
yes,
what
I
do
agree.
You think of Brady's deep ball? Terrible.
I think he's been very inconsistent, really, throughout his career, but I think he's been pretty subpar.
The only time he was consistent was when he had the greatest deep threat in the history of the game, jumping up between three guys to catch
right,
him.
Right. And that doesn't mean he's never completed accurate deep balls. I just don't think that's been a strength of his game throughout his time as a quarterback for the Patriots, and I definitely agree with the emailer. I think he's been off a little bit with some of the throws on deep balls lately. I thought,
him,
you know,
or Lloyd?
Well, these particular ones, I thought the first one was him. The two, you know, the two deep balls to Lloyd, I thought the first one was on Tom. The second one I thought might have been on Lloyd.
I actually think maybe the opposite. Because the first one, if he's running a post, he flattens that out and he's coming too far across the field, where I think Brady went more straight down the field towards the post. But I really have no idea. I don't know where he's supposed to go to.
Yeah, no.
We're just speculating.
We are.
I've heard this thing where Brady says he will never underthrow somebody deep. His goal is to always overthrow them. Like, that's his, like, own personal philosophical thing. A, do you buy that? And B, should you buy it?
I'm not sure I do buy it. I mean, I've seen him underthrow deep balls before. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean his philosophy is not to make sure he doesn't. You know, the Gronkowski one in the Super Bowl was certainly underthrown. A little bit different. It wasn't necessarily a planned play where he's stepping in and he was scrambling on that. But I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know if if that's his philosophy. I mean, I'm not sure. Why would your philosophy be different on a deep ball than any other ball? Wouldn't you be trying to throw your every pass accurately, right? Why would you say I'm going to try to throw this accurately, but I'm going to make sure I don't underthrow him? I mean, why would you do anything different than you would on a 15-yard out?
No idea.
I mean, that might be, I don't know, that's quarterbacking on a level that, you know, only pros know. I don't know how they approach each throw, but I would think that your idea is to throw it as accurately as you can on every throw.
I would agree. I would also agree that those cookies are phenomenal.
Yeah, you love those cookies.
They are warm, moist, sweet. They're perfect. Almost like Mark Williams, our friend, where's he from? Cheddar. Mark and Cheddar chiming in. I bet you there's going to be a game at the end of this. I don't know. I haven't scrolled down, but I'm pretty sure he always ends with a game, and they're usually pretty good. He says, guys and Hall of Famer. Paul, you know, is in this fake Hall of Fame that exists in a shoebox somewhere, and the rest of us are guys.
Let me know when Tuss puts you in their football Hall of Fame.
They don't have a football Hall of Fame. They have an athletic Hall of Fame. They don't make up these fake Hall of
Fames. Let me know when they put you in that.
They don't have. Well, let me know when you go in the BU Athletic Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I will. When Hernandez went down before he was carted off the field, I tweeted that Branch would be back. I finally got something right. Looking at it, I thought Hernandez would be done for almost all the season, so it is good to hear positive injury reports. When do you guys think he will be back? Unfortunately for me, I think he will be back after the bye, which means I will not get to see him play at Wembley. Ah, oh, yeah, that sucks. That would really suck if they lost out on seeing Hernandez. You know, not a huge deal, but we were talking about this in the locker room, and a lot of the reports are like 6 weeks or in that kind of area. And I am going to take the under only because he came back faster than I expected last year, so I'm going to assume he's a quick healer and comes back faster. That's the only thing I have to go on, nothing else.
I think Andy's right about the reputation is that he is a quick healer. I have no idea, and Andy's same way.
Six could be quick.
Yeah.
If he should miss 10.
He could come back quick and still miss 6 weeks, right, like people are saying. So it's hard to really say without knowing the extent of the injury. It looked pretty serious to me, though.
After an email, and Paul's eye on these things is very, very good. by the way, did anybody ask Wilfork about his injury when you were down there? How's he feeling physically? Nobody? You? Anyone? Nothing? So I'm just going to assume he's going to play. He does, you know, he's in the locker room talking, so our old rule is if they're in the locker room talking, they're going to be
fine. Was he even on the injury report?
I don't know.
I don't think he was.
I don't base anything on
that. They added Brandon Lloyd to the injury report.
I don't value the injury report in any way.
But you can't have a guy not play who's not even on the injury report.
Logan Mankin had an ACL for 16 weeks.
And he played.
I know, but I'm just saying I have no value in the injury report. Like 0.0% value. They could add him on Friday. They could add him whatever. You know, they could add him Saturday. Whatever. I don't place a lot of value in the injury report. I wouldn't place a lot of value either in what he responded to. How's the leg?
Which I did ask him after the game about the injury.
After an email last Thursday about accountability on the over-under games and suggestions that I should keep records, I've decided to record all the picks since Labor Day. Most of them so far are season-long predictions, so I will not be able to prove that Paul is far superior to Andy until the end of the season. You won't be able to prove that ever if you actually keep track. I do believe that we need more instant accountability, though. So each week I will send an over-under game with... Which, that's not how you spell extrapolates, if that's what he's trying... Extropotates?
My God.
Is that a different word?
I don't know.
Extropotates, extrapomates, exonerates... I mean, extrapolates, a tough word for Fred and Andy when you write it those eight different ways. Statistics so far, the full season, and specific over-under for following week for more.
Did you have a stroke in the middle of reading this email?
So over-under extrapolations for the season. Brady passing yards, 44-16.
44-16. I'm going to say over. Even though we're probably not on pace for that right now after two games.
Over. Oh, I assume that maybe that was the pace. No, is that the pace he's on? How did he get that number, 44-16?
Well, maybe he is. I don't know. He only threw for like 200 in the first game, though, right?
Did you see the number from Goose this morning that there's been 18 300-yard games but only two by the quarterbacks on any of the teams that are 6-0?
So the...
Balance is back in the NFL. That's what I retweeted and said. Balance is back. It's not a passing league anymore, Paul. It was a passing league a little while ago, but we've moved on.
Well, you and I were talking a little bit about the really good passing attacks that seemed like maybe it got caught up to a little bit. You know, Green Bay hasn't been as dynamic. New Orleans.
Aaron Rodgers no longer playing the position as well as anyone
else. New Orleans
has ever
not
played
been
it
as dynamic. And the Patriots haven't been as dynamic as they have been. You know, it was the three best offenses in football last year. And not that they've been bad, but, I mean, I did just see a thing on, I think it was NFL Network. They actually had a graphic up, better offense, Patriots or Ravens. Now, that would have been laughable if you did it 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Right?
I still find it borderline laughable.
No, I do too, but I think that they're just trying to hype the game up a little bit, you know.
No, I know, but I'm just, to me, if I do like the breakdown,
but I don't think
the
they
Patriots
would...
are better at everything except running back.
But I don't think they would have put that up there 2 weeks ago.
Probably not.
Even in an effort to overhype a game.
Sure. Ridley rushing yards, 1568. I'll take the under.
Under.
Jones sacks, 8. I'll take the under.
I'm going to take the under, too.
If he were going to get to a number
I'll tell
like
you what
that, he would have dominated in a game against a guy like Batista. And I think he could have. You know, that could have been his 3-sack game that all of a sudden catapults you from being a 6-sack guy to a 9-sack guy. Right?
Tally Banta Kane.
Yeah. Jones forced fumbles, 16. I'm going to take the under.
So maybe they are all the numbers that they're on pace for.
That's obviously that pace.
Under.
Lloyd receptions, 104. I'll take the under, but his targets will be 6 billion. Paul's going to take the rest of the show off, since in a two-man show,
Fred,
he's decided he's going to tweet.
Well, Fred just sent me something, that's why. I wasn't tweeting. Fred just sent me something.
All right, well, you want to share it with the rest of us, or are we going to finish the show
it's
here?
No, it's not for the show.
So, did he die on the way home?
No.
Okay.
Nothing serious. What was the last one?
I don't know, Paul. I was talking.
Okay.
I thought we were having a radio show here.
You've chastised me now twice.
Lloyd, receptions, 104.
Under.
Mayo, tackles, 176.
I'm going to say over.
Push.
I'm not Andy.
And what I
Are you not playing?
I've answered most of them. Sometimes I forget.
Some of them.
And what I think is the most interesting Hernandez receiving yards, 472.
Over.
Yeah, unless like he comes back in week 14 or something.
Well, that's why, you know.
He can't
be on pace for 472 receiving yards, though, can he? Oh, wait a minute. He can't be on pace for that. What did he have in the first game?
Who are you talking to?
I'm having
inner
dialogue. I mean, he had to have like 70 yards in the first game.
Yeah.
So 70 times 16 is more than 400.
But maybe he subtracted like
six
games
weeks
or whatever.
Yeah.
On to this week against the Ravens. Over under. Ridley fumbles, 0.5.
This week, under.
Under.
What do you mean? What does that look for? I don't think he's going to fumble.
Yeah, but this week? Like,
well, I meant for the season. I think he'll fumble once during the season.
Okay. Team's offensive yards. Team offensive yards, 405.
Under.
Under. Team defensive yards, 369.
369?
Yes, Glenn Ordway, 369.
It's a tough one.
Over.
I'm going to say over.
Team defensive interceptions, 1.5.
Under.
Under. Brady TDs, 2.5.
Under.
Over. Brady interceptions, 0.5.
Over.
Under. At PFW Eric Dumb Tweets, 9.5.
Over.
Keep up the great work. Mark from Cheddar.
Thanks, so you think the Patriots are going to win in a blowout?
I have no idea what I think. I'm going to be honest with you. Remember what I said about the AFC Championship game last year when I picked both teams? That's how I feel about this game again.
Well, not based on those stats, you don't.
And I got a problem here.
The only thing I remember about that, remember that pregame social when you went out in the hallway and joined the Ray Lewis huddle when he was...
yeah. Love Ray Lewis.
Like, Paparillo in the house.
Come on. You didn't watch that last night?
That was good.
It was awesome.
But I just thought it was funny. We could hear them like shaking our walls.
I just can't imagine a guy that... And it's well established on this show how stubborn I am. I can't imagine a guy that I hated so much that I now like so much. I just can't imagine that I would change my opinion on a guy so dramatically.
Dan from England chimes in.
Dan the man.
I was kidding when I said this. Andy Dumbass, actually Dumas is the subject. There's no B in it. Andy, you think Fred died on the way home and then sent Paul a text to let him know? I was kidding.
Wow.
They take you literally, everything you say around here.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to beat up on you.
Dumasses. This is from Alex in Philly. Didn't we already read him? Oh, yeah. Why didn't I delete that? Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-298-0398. If you want to give us a call, let's go to Jacob with a K from Denmark with a K. Hey, guys. It's still early in the season, but how many wins do you think the Patriots will get?
12.
My guess would be about 12.
I picked 12-4 before the season.
I guess we're all in agreement then.
And I don't necessarily do the win, loss, loss, win, win thing, but I kind of go down the season and I say, I group games together and I say they'll probably do this and that stretch. And I had targeted in for one of the losses, a game that we didn't expect them to lose. So here's the pressure on that now is you can't lose another game that I don't expect you to lose. They've used that one up, Arizona at home.
Yeah, they're like the people on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that like phoned a friend on the first question, and you're like, I don't think they're going to get to a million when they use their thing
exactly.
that early. Their lifeline.
Exactly.
You've got to save those lifelines to later in the show.
I always target in a loss in the division because as dominant as they've been in the AFC East under Belichick and Brady, they've only run the table once, and obviously that was the year they ran the table.
No, Paul.
For the whole season. But even in the, you know, back-to-back 14-2 seasons, Andy, they had a loss in the division both times. So I always target in one loss in the division, and then you have a couple of tough games here and there. I think you win some of those tough ones, you lose some of the tough ones.
The Fox in Mexico has the subject headline, Help Me, Dan Conley. You're my only hope. Guys, what's going on with the real key to the Patriots-Ravens game, Dan Conley? Except for a disastrous missed block each by and Nate Ebner, Donald Thomas was responsible for every sack, tackle for a loss, and turnover the Patriots offense had. On every field goal, Calais Campbell saw better and better position on Thomas, and I believe Calais' elevation was what caused Gostkowski to peak and pull his kick. Donald Thomas seems to always fire off a full 2 seconds after the snap, and when he does move, he always seems to be facing 180 degrees in the wrong direction. I can't see the Patriots' offense being productive if he has to match up with Nata. Not a chance.
I think that's one of the keys to the game. Andy Hart talked about that a little bit earlier in the week.
That's me.
The right side of the offensive line has been a little bit of a concern, and Nata is no longer playing nose tackle. He's been playing end. In the Ravens' front, that's a mismatch. And I think we're putting a little bit too much on Donald Thomas, by the way. I don't think that he was responsible for everything in that game. So
Stephen Gostkowski's like, I got no problem with it if you want to rip Donald Thomas.
Listen, there might be some truth to the fact that they got some penetration that hurt him or whatever. I don't know. But the sacks, the pressures, the run stops, they ran left, they ran right. They had trouble. On Sunday. They didn't play well offensively on Sunday.
They lost at the line.
It wasn't just because of Donald Thomas. It didn't help. He didn't play well. I'm not giving him a free pass, but I don't think he was alone. Do you?
I don't. I think the whole front physically got dominated. I don't think anybody played all that well, and that's a concern moving forward. And I told you, the whole right side kind of worries me from center over, regardless of who's out there, because I don't think Conley is elite. And with Wendell next to him and Cannon and or Vollmer, although Vollmer seems to be playing into shape. They've kind of doubled the reps. I'm assuming they're going to do that again this week. But I still fear the Nata side, and then Ray Lewis is running all over. So at any point, it's Nata and Ray Lewis attacking Wendell and Conley, or Conley and, you know, and that scares me a little bit there.
Yeah, I agree. According to our buddy Greg Bedard, Vollmer.
He's your buddy today. You're not fighting him. You were fighting the Globe yesterday, so I assumed he was part of it.
I wasn't fighting the Globe.
Oh, you were? Yeah, a little bit.
No, not at all.
Oh, a little bit. $4 million?
Not at all.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
You're fighting the Globe a little bit.
What are you talking about?
You said you don't buy anything that they're reporting in terms of the Brian Waters $4 million in the contract.
No, what I said was they've reported everything about this Brian Waters contract.
Oh, so you're fighting with the Globe?
No, not at all.
Warren chimes in. Welcome back, Dion Branch. Didn't Branch join us in time for the Ravens game in 2010?
Correct.
We won that game. Could be the same thing again, or at least I hope. That game was at home, though. That's one difference. And it was a nail-biter at home. And the defense also stepped up, I thought, and played pretty well that game. That was one of those games where you said they gave Brady the time to use Branch and to come back. So that was an interesting game, and I'm sure this one will be. This is turning into the current Patriots rivalry right now, and it's got a little bit, in some ways, kind of like the old Colts one, where you say the Patriots are keeping the Ravens from getting to where they want to go, and that's why I think this is a important game on more than just a statistical level of just the Ravens getting the monkey off their back and saying, yeah, it was in our house, and we'll do it again in our
house. So the question, Andy, is 2012...
the year of the Raven?
The same as 2004 and 2003, or will it be like 2006 for the your little Colts analogy?
2 weeks too early. Is a little
too early
for me to tell you.
Too early. We'll revisit.
We'll revisit in January. We'll definitely do that. I did want to add, Greg Salas is back on the practice squad.
Yeah, he cleared waivers. Can't believe that. But, yeah, he's back on the practice squad.
That's a little weird. You don't think that's a little weird?
That he
with
cleared waivers?
Lack of NFL
no.
offensive talent and a guy that had, like, 30 receptions or whatever the hell his numbers were in a short period of time as a rookie doesn't get a look?
I didn't find it overly strange, no.
I didn't find it overly strange, but I think with all these teams that claim they have no receivers, this is a guy that's not proven he can't play and in a short sampling of time was productive.
I think it's one of those deals where if it were, you know, August 20th and he got released, I don't think he would have cleared waivers. I think someone would have picked him up and said, hey, you know, we got another week or so, week and a half here. Let's see what we got.
Right.
But now I think teams have sort of settled in on who they have and they don't want to lose someone off their roster to see if this guy has something that might fit into their...
Benefits Patriots. He's back. Yeah. Mike Reese still has a chance for his 61-catch season that he predicted for Greg Salas.
And Mike, by the way, was very willing to sort of tease himself
about
that.
I heard him talking to Salas about it today in the locker room.
Oh, really?
With him. Yeah. Glad to see you back because, you know, since I predicted you'd have 61 catches this year or something.
That's good for Mike.
You know, it's not much different than... Was it last year? I don't even know.
Oh, we've had a million of those.
Taylor Price, when
I
predicted like 60 catches and 8 touchdowns or something.
He only came 60 short.
And 8. second from Warren. Also, the problem with the Patriots offense is the play calling at the moment, Paul Perillo agrees. But I think it will get better and McDaniels will get it right. He has more players to work with than probably even before, and they take time to know how to utilize all of them. Paul, would you like to, I know you're a big proponent of Bill O'Brien and you're not sure about the new guy.
I didn't like the play calling on Sunday. Don't be, you know, your typical big-headed self. I didn't like the play calling on Sunday. Let's leave it at that. We don't have to make a big production out of it.
I'm just saying, you know.
And you know I'm not a big fan of running the football. I know everybody else thinks that they have to run the football.
Paul is philosophically against
balanced offense. I learned at the feet of the master. Ed Duckworth, former beat writer from the Providence Journal for the New England Patriots, who used to proclaim quite consistently in the press box after a one-yard gain, another stupid running play. He hated when they ran the football.
Joining us now on not the ace ticket hotline, but the suck it hotline is our good friend Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Chris, how are ya?
Good, how are ya?
Tremendous. Now, what's up? How's the water levels?
A little low. We need some rain.
Oh, jeez. I'm worried about those.
But Chris,
we need some rain.
Christian, when you heard God for the first time in your ear, what was your reaction?
I said, the Lord, he needs to incarcerate me for me to see his light. See what I need of my
life. It was tremendous.
It was.
Everybody was tremendous.
Everybody in the world, I think, except my wife, liked it. She thought it was embarrassing. She goes, does he talk like that all the time?
Yes!
Guys are so gay. Guys are so gay. I can't believe you guys talk like this. And does that work?
No. We don't. He does.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he does. And you got to love football. And when you love football and you see a guy with that much passion, it's his whole life.
No
and
question.
And it was, like Paul said, I never went from hating a guy so much to liking a guy so much.
And I hated him as much as I hate anybody in the NFL. Like that kind of hate. Fan hate. Not like real, like a person.
I hated him. I have a somber blanket to throw on this little Ray Lewis love fest, though, but something hit me in the
He was involved in a double murder? Yeah. I mean, that's kind
of... Nothing to do with that.
You're right about that. That's a hard one to overlook.
He's a 17-year veteran, Hall of Fame middle linebacker who we joke about having played in the Fountain of Youth... A.K.A. steroids.
No question.
And recently, the guy with the closest possible resume to that killed himself. And that's literally the first... Like, you think he's on top of this world, and he's this great motivational speaker, just like Junior Seau, who was on top of the world, loved football, loved... And it, whatever it was, whether it was concussions, whether it was, you know, post-career inability to find an identity, whether it was steroid use, whatever it may have been... That man ended his life early, and that's literally all I could think of with Ray Lewis is, you know, he looks like he's got life by the cojones, but am I going to be looking back in 5 years and saying, wow, we really didn't know what was going on with Ray Lewis? That's all I could think of.
I hope not.
I hope not either.
He just seems like a, you know. Yeah, hope not.
Even
yeah,
his relationship with that, you know, the was I forget his name, but
Oh, the guy with cancer.
Yeah, the Ravens fan. Yeah. I mean, that was incredible.
And
incredible
just so you know,
stuff.
Christian, had I seen that last year, I would have been rooting for the Ravens in the AFC title game.
As Andy
when a guy goes,
morning,
I'm not going to die until you guys win the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, I would have been rooting for the Ravens.
Andy said, day. After Cundiff missed the kick, if I had known this whole thing, I'd have been in tears.
Seriously.
No, I know. I felt bad for him when they showed the video.
Yeah, and then they show the little thing that he passed, you know, 2012 in the picture.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
That was, it was. It really was. That's a well-rounded guy, and like I said, it really was something to see.
So you're rooting for Ray Lewis this week, huh?
Absolutely not. No. I am worried about the game, though. I think I think the Patriots are either going to get blown out or it's going to be a field goal game. I don't think the Patriots have the ability to blow this team out. I just think that going into this game, in the environment, I think the most important part of the game is really like the first two drives for each team. I think if they can stem the tide going into that environment, I think they'll be okay. That's a tough place to play. I mean, in 2007 when you know, the Ravens were 5-11, they gave that team everything they could handle. And, you know, both coming off losses, it's tough. It's going to be a tough spot, and I hope they pull it out. And I think that maybe this week all the talk about Welker and the offense, they pay attention, the Patriots, they listen. I think that's going to get a little bit under their skin, and I think they're going to come out firing. So
they're certainly talking about the environment and coming out fired up and being prepared for the crowd noise and all that. Now, there's a difference between talking about it on Wednesday and Thursday and meeting that challenge Sunday night at 8:30. So it'll be interesting, especially some of these young guys and unproven guys. And, you know, you look at a guy like Ryan Wendell, you know, and I think back to last night when Ray Lewis, he's like 64, good job, 64. And then he goes back, 64 is lost. And he was talking about the center. Like, I could see him doing that with Ryan Wendell in the middle of the field and Wendell pooping himself.
He's blocking for his life. He don't know what he's doing.
Right. So, and you got a lot of, I mean, all these rookies on, you know, the young guys on defense, Tavon Wilson and Dont'a Hightower and Chandler Jones. I don't think the spot is going to be too big for them, but you never know. This is their first really prime time big football game. So I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it is. It's the spot. And we'll see. You know, this is as close to, I think, as probably a playoff game as you can get on the schedule. I mean, I know they get San Francisco and Houston down the line, but, you know, prime time game, you know, Ravens, no question that they can have last year on their mind. I don't care what.
And it's a really big game for Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
And Christian brings up something that's kind of interesting about the start to the game. If the Patriots can sort of stem the tide early, I think that's relevant because I think Baltimore's going to have more pressure. This is a bigger game for Baltimore. They're both 1-1, but Baltimore's at home. They haven't been able to play this team at home in a long time. They finally have them at home. They kind of have the Patriots, you know, staggered a little bit with the bad loss last week. They need to win the game. And if they get off to a bad start, it might sort of add to the pressure of the moment. You know, it'd be interesting to see if the Patriots can, you know, sort of allow that to play against Baltimore.
Especially if they lose another game that they don't think they should have lost, like last week. They think they should be 2-0. And if they lose, you know, it comes down to another close one and the Patriots pull it out, now you start questioning maybe what you're doing.
And we all talked all offseason about how, you know, the Suggs loss was big. They don't have as much talent. The defense is a year older. Maybe it starts to affect them a little bit. Now, you know, I still respect the hell out of Baltimore. I think they're a good team, and
the hell,
it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy win.
No, it'll be tough. I got one quick question, and then I'll let you guys go. Upshaw, how's he look so far?
He didn't play the first week, right?
Oh no, he did. Kendall didn't play the first week.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll go with you then. Yep. I thought Upshaw didn't do much the first.
I don't think he did much. Yeah, but he did play.
I'm talking
just
about
curious, that whole Alabama type thing and all that, and them, you know, drafting with Hightower and everything, and so everybody being so close, I was wondering how he was doing.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, seen enough of them to see if he's. I don't think he's made a huge impact. Like, for example, I don't think he's done anywhere near as much as like Chandler Jones has.
God, no.
You know, I mean, I think he's played, but I don't think he's made an impact.
I don't think he's done anywhere near as much as Dont'a Hightower does, and I don't think Hightower's done all that much.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you that. But listen. I'll tell you one thing that I think that the Ravens are a little underrated at. I think they have a decent secondary. I think they have much better corners than they normally do.
Mm-hmm. They've gotten better.
Ladarius Webb has turned into a pretty good player.
Well, I think their defense has done kind of what they changed. You know, they got rid of this, but this got better. This is getting older, but this is getting better. I think
they have three corners that they like with Webb, Kerry Williams, and the the felon from Colorado. Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, it's amazing how I remember the guys by their, by their rap sheets.
All right.
Suck me, beautiful. Wow. I didn't give him a chance to respond either. We're going to stick with the phone lines because we have another one of our favorite callers, Eldridge in North Carolina, and it says here he wants to trade Welcher for Moss.
Oh, I didn't say nothing like that.
I can only go by what my call screener types in this little box here, and under your name, it says wants to trade Welcher for Moss.
I want to ask you, can I speak it on the radio? You said yeah.
No, yeah.
Welcher for Moss. I wish they used Welcher a little bit more and phased out this history about phasing him out. But then again, like I said, I can only go back when Moss was there at his last year. They were phasing him out also.
Well, it's funny. This week, they're both answering questions about their playing time. I saw Moss gave a next question about his playing time, and everybody obviously here has been wondering about Welker's playing time. So the stars of the 2007, you know, record-setting offense talking about playing time.
Exactly. You know, but Sunday night, I got my fingers crossed. I hope we pull it out, and I'm like the last caller. Defense-wise, I hope they step a little bit, but, man, with Jacoby Ford playing like he's playing, and you got Smith on the outside, and you got the two tight ends and Rice, which one do you stop first?
Rice.
That's my question.
Rice.
You gotta take Rice out of the equation if you can,
and then make Flacco beat you.
If he does, he does.
I think he's a middle-of-the-pack guy. I don't think he's elevated in my mind like he's elevated in his own mind. I still think he's a guy that – you force to beat you, and if he does, then you go, okay.
He hasn't been able to do that every week, and he's absolutely right. He can do it some weeks, but he can't do it every week, and you have to hope that the week that you do it, he doesn't do it against you.
Yeah, but see, like the Eagles, we got a little bit better defense. You know what I mean? They got a little bit better defense than what we got.
Well, I think that the Eagles have some personnel that maybe pressures the passer a little bit better than the Patriots, but based on what I've seen in the first 2 weeks, admittedly against weak offenses, I'm not sure of that.
Paul's got the Patriots defense in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, shut up. You're unbelievable.
Yeah, he does. I heard him early.
He's writing about the dominant run defense they're playing. No one's ever going to run a single yard on them all year. He's feeling good. He's pretty high on the young guys.
Yeah, but like I said, it's the coverage, man. I'll be honest with you again. It's that secondary that worries me. Because like I said the other day, we get some fast receivers, some big receivers, we have problems.
Well, we're going to find out, but it still comes down to what we just talked about a minute ago. Can Flacco beat you? Even if guys are open, now he's got to hit him. He's got to put the ball in spots. And at times in his career, he's been very good at that. At other times, I personally don't think he has been very good at it. And the more and more that he puts on his shoulders, the less and less you can deflect. And you just got to say it's Flacco or it's not Flacco for the reason they're going to win.
Okay, now you don't think after last year's AFC Championship game, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder and we playing them at home?
No, I do.
I do.
I think they have a chip on their shoulder, but I think you can knock it off by beating them. I think this is a very close rivalry with two teams that think they're great with great leadership, and they're like I said, they're the Colts. They're trying to get that monkey off their back. They're trying to climb that mountain that is the Patriots.
And if that happens and you're able to knock that chip off, then what?
Right.
Then what does Baltimore do? That's why I think there's more pressure on Baltimore now than there are the Patriots. The Patriots right now, I'm not saying this is not a big game for New England. It is. I mean, you can tell by the way that they're talking. It's a big game for the Patriots, but it's much more important for the Ravens to win it than the Patriots.
Sure.
The Patriots are, quote-unquote, supposed to lose. They're on the road. They're underdogs.
One more question, Faye.
Okay.
Okay. I heard that we got Branch back.
Yep. You heard right.
Yeah, I saw that on the NFL Network.
Yep.
Okay. So you think that's going to help the receiving corps even better? Or is it going to be like it was in the playoffs and in the regular season, where he didn't show up to in the middle of the pack, then he still didn't show up at the end of the game? That's my point. That's what I'm wondering about.
They're better than they were 2 days ago with Greg Salas inactive and Branch not on the team. I'm not saying they're great.
They would be better if Hernandez was healthy. He's not, so they needed to bring in some guys. And they brought in Winslow and they brought in Branch.
And I also think Branch was better than you think he was last year, apparently.
I do, too.
I think he was a decent complementary weapon on this team, catching 50 balls and averaging 13 yards a catch.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, hey, Eldridge. Watch out for those cops. They're coming to get you.
It's because they're tired of his rant.
I just nod and say yes and pick out every third word. Joe in Michigan chiming in, and he got exactly what he didn't want. Patriots versus Ravens subject. Hey, guys, I'm hoping the arguments get incredibly out of control without Fred there to reel you back in. A, Fred creates the fights, and B, it's impossible in a two-man show for us to get into really good fights.
Because then you can't turn anywhere.
Personal, like, if Eric comes in, his wife or something.
If Eric comes in, we can get an argument going.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when I ask Eric, you know, about his record in the picks contest, and I say maybe he should watch all the games twice. I think that might be able to start something.
Or when I say, you know, Wednesdays should be what you should have watched Wednesdays, where I tell him how to watch the game a second time.
Right, which Fred actually threw out there yesterday.
Yeah, it's a good Fred Kirsch line before he, you know, had his stomach cut open and then stumbled home saying, I feel woozy. A few questions about the offense today. Do you think we will see more wide receiver heavy or tight end heavy sets against the Ravens? Can Winslow have a big impact this weekend?
This is the whole thing comes down to Winslow and how much he plays.
Sure.
I'm going to say you're going to continue to see the tight end heavy stuff.
The two
tight end set is their base set. Would you agree?
I don't think there's anything to agree with.
Right.
Is today Thursday? Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So in my mind, you do that and you continue to stick with the two tight ends. Now, if it's Winslow and Gronk as opposed to Manawa Nui or even Daniel Fells, maybe Fells is a little bit closer and he's able to get out there. I just can't imagine
that.
I don't know.
He left his playbook on the dominoes table.
You can't imagine that you go back and say, well, we're just going to scrap that because we don't have Hernandez and we're going to go with three receivers, four receivers, and not have as many tight ends.
But they're going to have to scrap the fullback.
Right.
They don't have a fullback. Unless they promote James Devlin. Right? Shane Vereen. Any chance?
Yeah, there's a chance.
Do something?
Again, I just don't know about the health.
I feel like the Patriots have a good chance to win this game, and my prediction is 27-24 Patriots with Gostkowski getting another shot to win the game and capitalizing on it. Hope to hear your thoughts.
My thoughts is, yeah, I mean, I would expect to be a competitive game. You know, 27-24? Yeah, I could see that.
Hi, friend. How are you? I'm Roger from China, Shenzhen, Power Technology Limited. Are you interested in our newest line of Apple iPad and iPhone cases? I don't think that was to the show, Paul.
No, Andy, I'm guessing it wasn't.
Canadian Mike in Florida. Hello, my name is Jeff. I'm a douche that lives in Vegas. I have bet away my kids' college fund. I have no friends except when I buy the PFW guys food. That was all in quotes.
That is correct.
But really, guys, this guy probably used to get beat up in school all the time. Jeff, please send us a picture to confirm you look like a cross between Horshack and George Costanza.
Now, he grew up in Linfield, so he didn't get beat up in school.
The only reason he can get 70% off at Planet Hollywood is because they figure all his friends are losers like him and bound to lose their shirt.
All right, enough with the personal attack.
Please, get whatever you like. Now that the food has already arrived, please tell me you guys took the opportunity to tip the delivery guy a 100% tip on Jeff's credit card. I don't know. We don't handle the money. That's all a Kevin Collins thing. That gives me plausible deniability if this ever becomes an issue with the feds. Let's play the Jeff is a douche over-under game.
Oh, my God.
Am I really going to do this for a guy that bought us lunch today?
No.
How many times Jeff got beat up in school? 13. I told you,
he grew up in Linfield. He never got beat up in school.
Money lost by Jeff in Vegas, $250,000.
Oh, under.
Under. How many times we have to hear him speak on the air this year? And remember, you guys have complete control of this one. Zero. I'm going to take the over. He's a welcome member of the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social.
Yes.
He caters to our gambling crowd,
yes.
Last-minute money movers. Otherwise, great show, guys. Missed the first few minutes of the show. What happened to Fred today? Fred had a hernia surgery. He attempted
to carry the show
to work today and actually was in his Stephen Hawking chair in his office. And then stumbled out the door and asked our circulation manager to drive him home because he was, quote, feeling woozy while icing his belly down.
So pretty much sums it up right there, Andy.
But all expectations are that he will be here tomorrow and will make the trip to Baltimore. Otherwise, Paul will be going in his stead.
What's that now?
this is from Adi in Boston.
I mean, in all seriousness, what exactly does he do?
I mean, Fred Kirsch. I think Kirsch words.
Well, he could do that from his couch.
Have we ever read that?
No.
I'll go do Kirsch words. He can produce.
You think we should? I think we should too. But it's another one on the long list. If you want all this stuff to get done, you got to take some other things away.
It's true. Artie says, hey, guys, big fan of the show. If officials are starstruck or intimidated, it seems that would surely play in the Patriots' favor. Heck, to heck with 6'8" lineman, is anyone more intimidating than Belichick? A speedy recovery to Fred. Keep up the good work. I actually think it could be the exact opposite, because I think these guys are starstruck, which means they are all football fans, like the guy in New Orleans, who got removed from the game because he was a huge New Orleans fan. And in my, and don't get mad at me, I think the general perception of football fans around the country who aren't Patriots fans, they hate Belichick. And if you have a crew of officials that flat out personally hate Bill Belichick, I don't think that's good for your chances in the football game.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd like to counter my point, Paul.
Well, no, I mean, it's an interesting thought, but I got to think that guys that officiate games can keep their personal biases out of the game. You know, isn't everybody, wouldn't you think that everybody's a fan of some team?
Yeah, that's what I said to you as soon as they removed that guy. I assume Ed Hockley likes a football team. Some team. He grew up wherever he lives, whatever, something.
I mean, how can you find people in all walks of life, in all sports, that are completely, totally, emotionally detached and don't have any, you know, any preferences for any of the teams? You have umpires and referees in all sports that are able to put whatever team that they like aside well enough that they can judge as fairly as they can what's going on. I don't see that as a huge deal. I mean, maybe they all do hate Belichick, but I'd like to think that that really doesn't have anything to do with the game. Now, the other stuff, in terms of being starstruck and intimidated on the field, that's not something you go in with a preconceived notion.
Right.
That happens.
That's Ray Lewis standing there yelling at
you. That's because these guys haven't been there before.
This guy stabbed a guy once.
Well, do you know what I'm saying? Like, these guys have never been in this situation before, but it's not like they go in and say, I'm reffing Tom Brady's game today. He's unbelievable. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm going to give him 3 roughing the passer calls.
Right.
They don't do that. But maybe if a guy comes by and breathes on Brady a little bit, he's there, and Brady gets up and yells at him, oh, yeah, Tom, you're right.
Can I get an autograph?
You get influenced.
Get a photo with your wife after the game?
I mean, I think that those guys in the Green Bay game in opening week, Green Bay, San Francisco, they totally got influenced by the Lambeau Field crowd on that block, on the block in the back on the punt return.
Aren't these a lot of topics we generally save for NBA officials? Home crowd calls and fans and feuds. You know, he once fought with this guy, so now he calls against him every play.
And that's the unfortunate part, is you never really had to worry about that with the NFL. I think everybody operated under the premise that it was on the up and up.
I don't find it unfortunate. You reap what you sow. You decided you were going with these
replacement
Jag referees.
No, I mean for the game. I don't mean for the – no one's going to weep for Goodell in the NFL. I mean, it's a $9 billion operation. They
put
themselves –
You made your bed, baby.
You get wrinkled. When you make your bed bad, you get wrinkled.
You or your bed?
You.
You get wrinkled?
When you make your bed bad, you get wrinkled.
Only if it's in a bathtub and I'm in for a half hour, then I get wrinkled. Why would I get wrinkled for making my bed bad? Is that really a saying?
Yeah, it's a Grandma Nussbaum saying.
But it's not, it gets wrinkled?
No.
You get wrinkled? Like your hands?
It's not literal.
I've never heard it before, and I don't think I care for it.
God's sakes.
When you're in weeds, what does Fred like to say? Brent in Illinois, just another quick fact that Florio is an idiot. I agree. He states that last year's AFC title game notwithstanding, the Ravens have had the Pats' number lately. Idiot. I think the Pats have won most of these games.
That's correct. The Patriots have only lost once.
They had their number a big time on one day. One day when Wes Welker didn't play. Right?
Right.
Now, this might be another day where Wes Welker doesn't play.
I mean, you could make the argument that Baltimore has sort of been coming on, and despite losing, you know, you could make an argument they've been the better team, but they can't find a way
so
to go
over
the hump.
Moral victories they have, just not real ones.
But you cannot say that the Ravens have had the Patriots' number.
Ridiculous.
That's a completely and utterly ridiculous statement.
You get misinformation.
It's an utterly
Terry Bradshaw
ridiculous
was dead.
Statement.
Oh, he's not dead again. Oh, these guys said that Chad Ochocinco's
getting
cut.
Who is the Sandy Hart guy?
Exactly. Who is this Mike Florio guy? Everybody knows you because you're a clown, an idiot of misinformation. Second.
Tom Coughlin next week on A Football Life.
I saw some of the clips last night. Looks decent. Jeff in Vegas was sick of shoveling snow, so he moved to Vegas to shovel the shite.
Yeah. Thanks.
What? I want to make sure you knew. This doesn't come from No Socks, but I think it could have.
One
Kenneth,
and four?
Kenneth from Hudson Valley, New York, Baltimore, Buffalo, Denver, Seattle. We could lose. I think he means lose. Or I don't know why he even typed it twice. All of those games. But we could also win all of those games. It just kind of worries me, considering we will still play the 49ers and Texans later in the year. That is a common concern with some fans. No Socks.
I don't really understand it, though. I mean, every game is losable, right?
Sure, for the most
part. Now, I think that you could look at the schedule and say, Arizona, Jacksonville, you know, maybe Miami. You're probably not going to lose those games. Those are, you know, those are pretty good odds for the Patriots to win. They lost one of the games. It happens. I mean, sometimes you lose a bad game, and the emails have pointed out already. Buffalo last year, Cleveland in 2010. There have been others. That Miami Monday night game that year when Miami was 2-13. Every once in a while, you lose a bad game. But do we really think that because you lost to Arizona, now I'm more worried about that Seattle game? Or
well, that's what
the Buffalo
I said
game
to
next week.
Mr. No Sox. He goes, you know, you're coming off a terrible loss, and I go, so you expect another terrible loss in Seattle? Because that would be two terrible losses.
Right. I
do
mean,
you
I
really expect, and if so, then they're not terrible losses. Then you just don't think they're very.
Well,
good
that's
football
what I
see.
You know, this argument started about the schedule and how difficult the schedule is. It's a cream puff schedule. The Patriots could go 1-15, and it still wouldn't be a good schedule. It would just mean that the Patriots weren't as good as we think they are.
True.
That's all. I mean,
true.
Losing to Arizona doesn't mean that I watched the game. Arizona didn't have better players than the Patriots.
At some positions.
Not for the most part.
Dockett.
Yeah, okay.
Campbell.
You had a couple. Well, I mean, he was better than your offensive lineman, sure, that day. He was better than Donald Thomas. Ooh, I have some crackling
terrible
in Eric's mic.
That's better.
More betterish.
Before we get to TG and NJ, we're going to have Eric Scalavino's always scintillating practice report.
Hernandez. Francis. That's it.
No Francis?
He was on the injury report yesterday. Added with an ankle.
So he must have gotten hurt yesterday? Is that the premise?
It seemed like it because he was there for the start of practice.
And he was in the locker room.
He rolled up on playing the role of Haloti Ngata or something.
Maybe.
And Lloyd was out there.
Yep.
Because I know Lloyd was an addition to the report yesterday.
He was an addition. Full pads, number 3. For those of you keeping score on the 11 that they have to get in the first 11 weeks.
I wasn't.
I know, not you. I was talking about those who do, because there are some who do.
Who?
People who listen.
And Mike Reese already knows.
Why do you say that?
Because Mike knows those kinds of things.
Because we watched them in the locker room putting their full pads on?
Yeah.
No, I mean how many they had.
Oh.
And care.
Right.
I just want to make sure no rules are being misinterpreted. That's all.
I misinterpreted
that. That's Eric Scalavino, Coach Belichick. If you want to find him, he's
who mentioned anything about the coach?
He's at PFW.
You brought up
Eric,
the coach, not me.
No, if the rules get misinterpreted, it's the head coach that would hear about it.
Not necessarily.
He decides whether it's full pads or not full pads.
Okay. Just pointing out facts.
Anything else before you two guys? As promised,
a fight
by
will
the
break
way,
out when Eric gets
when
here.
Eric gets here, the fight will break out.
Why did you promise that?
Well, someone was hoping that Andy and I would get into a big fight without Fred here to reel us in. And
yeah.
He said, well, that doesn't usually happen.
Because
there's only two guys.
There has to be some decorum.
I said, but when Eric comes by, I'll predict a little
Eric
fraud,
is by.
A little something. And Eric is by later.
He's by now.
He looks at me.
Eric said,
so you got anything else for
Fred
us?
Fred actually said you were out yesterday.
Out at practice, yeah.
No, you
were outside
yesterday.
No, I was here yesterday.
Oh, whatever day it was. And I
Tuesdays,
said, no,
I'm not
Eric
here.
Is not out. You shouldn't say things like that about
him. Yeah, we'll do the picks later, too.
Now we're going to get to TG and NJ.
Yeah.
Guys, I meant to ask you, so why didn't you? Do you like the way the game is being played now with these new officials? The extra holding at the line, the contact down the field between the wideouts and the defensive backs. Some say it resembles the NFL of the 80s. Do you guys like it, or do you prefer the flag flying and less contact? I myself prefer to let the players play. I hate PI and enjoy a good defensive low-scoring game as much as the high-scoring games of the pass-happy modern NFL.
I'll tell you what, I do like them to play. I agree with TG in that. I'd like them to play, but if you're going to have rules need to be enforced. If you don't want the rules to be enforced, take away the rules.
But if you want them to be enforced, the guy needs to know the rules.
Correct.
Well, I like the consistent nature of those calls. That's what I want to see. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen them be consistent. In those two things, I like the fact that a play like Mayo made last week is not a flag.
Or a fine.
To Eric's point, they've sort of told us that that's a penalty in this day and age in the NFL.
So you should call it.
So I don't know how I feel about it, but I would rather have a league that those hits are not penalties. The questionable roughing the passers, not a penalty. I disagree on pass interference. I don't like the cheap pass interference that gives you 40 yards. But when you get a guy that gets hit before the ball gets there, I don't like it. Wow, you got to let the defense play. I mean, you got to give something to the defense. No, that you prevented the guy. It's not good defense to hit the receiver before the ball gets there. That's illegal.
Not if it doesn't get called.
No, I understand that. And they let Asamoah.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Get away with a lot of contact
not
on the way down the
savvy.
Field. Right? On that play that Baltimore got screwed on, they let Asamoah get away with a lot of contact down the field. I'm okay with that. Let the two guys go up and make a play on the ball. But now you call the offensive guy for sort of retaliating to the contact, and you take a touchdown away with 5 minutes left in a game. I don't like that.
And I can tell you from talking to at least one player, the perception of these players is they call the game differently late than they do early, and that, like, when the game on the
that's
line,
the
they're
throwing
flags.
That's the consistency thing that I'm talking about.
And that's problematic. Just let them play.
And by the way, I think that's another call that may have been influenced by the crowd and whatnot.
Could be. Or the situation or
yeah.
Whatever. One last observation. We always say Andy is the negative Nancy. I don't know why that is. That's me adding my two cents in. I'm not negative at all. But lately, Paulie seems to be taking that title to the next level. He hates everybody. He hates the fans. We all knew that.
Well, that's
he hates
not
the
new.
Officials. We all do.
That's
he
not
hates
new
coaches,
either.
Owners, and players, especially Wes. The only person I can think of who he has said he likes is Drew, period. What gives, Paulie?
That's not true. That last part. The other stuff is true. I hate officials.
You don't like Drew?
No, but he's not the only guy I like. Matter of fact, I can't think of a single player in that locker room right now that I don't like.
Brandon Lloyd.
I haven't really talked to him.
Yeah, I'm hating him for Eric and others who have told me he was a
yeah,
douche.
Yeah, I mean,
literally
from,
turning my back
from
on
what
him.
I've heard of him.
He looks like a douche.
I mean, I talked to him once and had no problem with him.
I've never spoken with him. I did, actually.
What was one of the OTAs, I think, he talked out on the field.
Yeah, field.
Yep. He was fine. The stuff that Eric went through, I thought he was totally out of line. Not
he's
Eric, Brandon Lloyd. And you told me a story about someone else who had a
right.
problem
he's,
that
he's
I think he's out of line for, too.
A number of people have told me enough stories that, yeah, I don't care for him. And while we're on the subject of people Paulie hates, did you guys see the Ray Lewis episode of A Football Life on NFLN? After watching it, my hopes for this weekend have been lowered, but I'm feeling a field goal game here, win or lose.
Why did the episode make you change your mind, I'm wondering?
He's just tremendous.
Well, we already knew that, though.
Yeah, no, we were talking earlier. I can't think of a guy, Eric, that I totally had a complete 180 on more than him. I hated him.
Since the
absolutely, yeah.
unfortunate incident
I mean,
of the
I
Super
hated
Bowl.
Him before the unfortunate incident at the Super Bowl because I just didn't like all the antics and all that stuff. And then he's involved in that, and I thought he got off because of who he is. But just watching him over the last couple of years and got a tremendous amount of respect. I mean, even the way that he sort of handled the post missed field goal thing, to me, I thought was, I mean, that's a guy I want in my locker room. Mm-hmm. If I'm the kicker that misses that kick, that's the guy I want having my back. And I don't think there was anything phony, fake about. I know a lot of people think that he's a complete and total fraud.
No,
Ray Lewis.
Maybe, he's no Tim Tebow.
Maybe he is. And maybe he's got me fooled. I also don't think Tim Tebow is a fraud, so
yeah,
maybe
you're
that's
wrong.
Maybe I'm consistent on that.
You're 50-50.
Maybe I'm fooled by these guys. But to listen to him talk about Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff in the immediate aftermath of that game, which they had good stuff on that documentary last night, I don't know how you cannot be impressed with the guy. And did you watch it last night?
I didn't.
They have a relationship with a fan who had cancer. He was pretty bad shaped in the, you know, during the course of the season, and Ray Lewis has this incredibly close relationship with him, and the guy passed away shortly after the season, evidently. And just watching it, Andy made the comment, as they're practicing for the AFC Championship, the guy's there. I mean, obviously, this guy is just a real Ravens insider. He's everywhere. You know, he's at practice watching them. He's in a wheelchair. He's got oxygen, and he's in tough shape. And Ray Lewis goes over, and Chuck Pagano mm-hmm. goes over, and they introduce him to Chuck Pagano, and he's talking to him, and Ray says, "Tell him what you told me." He goes, "I'm not going to die until the Ravens win the Super Bowl."
Oh boy!
And Andy says, "He goes, had I known that, I would have been in tears after kind of missed that kick."
Wow!
I mean, it was powerful stuff.
And the guy died right after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know how.
They didn't
I don't know
exactly.
Yeah, it just they just. Showed like you know, I think it's Billy Warble, I think was his name,
something like
and
that.
It listed you know whatever his
wow.
life was 2012.
How did he get connected with Ray Lewis?
I didn't see the very beginning, so I don't know. I put it on at about maybe 10, well, about quarter past, 20 past 8, so I missed the very beginning of it. But
and
I
there just, were, how many episodes are there with Ray? Was it just the one?
Yeah, just one.
Yeah, it was a football life.
I think Belichick they had the one that had a two-parter because that was the beginning of it.
Yeah, they had a same thing with Belichick. He was mic'd, I thought there was one mic'd for every game.
I thought there was one thing that's going to be a series of episodes. One of the subjects. I can't remember which one.
Man, I don't know. John and Lynn chimes in with one of his great, what are these, poems?
Great? No, limericks.
Limericks.
Limericks. Eric's interviewees can be rude and respond with uncouth attitudes. He doesn't sound like a brat. He does sound like a brat, but it doesn't help that in his pants there's something that protrudes. It's actually the pants. It's the pleats. I'm returning these. That was good.
Yeah.
You have no sense of humor.
No, I do have one, and that's not funny.
Andy-ism. This is from Josh in Waterloo, Iowa. I can't believe you guys left out the biggest Welker theories, that there was multiplication by multiplication, and there could be division by division. Come on, you guys covered addition by addition and subtraction by subtraction. You guys are really letting these fans down. No one knows what's going on with Wes Welker. He's going to catch 150 balls this week.
He might.
He's going to have a big game. I guarantee you he's going to have a game in like 12, 13 catches, big game. There's no doubt in my mind.
He almost started to have one against Arizona.
Yes.
But the question is, would he have had Hernandez not gone out?
No. Walter Johnson. He's a great pitcher, right? Nationals, I think. Fireballer. Old time. Paul would know.
Oh, the original, like the old time.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Walter Johnson. Steve Buckley were here, he'd tell us. He's an old-time historian.
Washington Senators?
Tuning in late, glad Branch is back. I like defense, too, as long as the offense gets 35-plus points or more. Brady better get his act together or the season is in trouble, starting to remind me of the guy he replaced. Ooh, whoa, I get it. Wait a minute. Keep up the good work, Wally. Oh, apparently Walter Johnson goes by Wally in Texas by way of New Hampshire.
So he's saying that Brady is to blame for the loss the other day? Brady needs to get himself in order?
Words in front of me. I can't read between the lines.
I don't.
Should I read it again?
I don't agree with that.
Brady better get his act together or the season is in trouble, starting to remind me of the guy he replaced. Keep up the good work.
Well, you agree with that.
Yeah, I do a little bit. I think he's getting beaten up, and I think he's starting to
you
anticipate
the rush. You made
that
very same analogy that'll be appearing tonight on PFW TV.
I said that on TV?
I believe you did.
Wow. You just say things in different areas, and you forget cameras and microphones are running.
You always have to assume they are.
I'm not killing you for it either. I don't necessarily disagree. I think he has shown some signs of...
skittishness?
Yeah. He's anticipating pressure.
One of the sacks he certainly did.
Yeah. And he's been doing it since 09, since he came back from the injury. But I think it looks worse now maybe because the offensive line is a little worse, so there's more opportunity to anticipate because there's actually more pressure, too, and it kind of is all it's a snowball. It's snowballing for him. I like this email headline. Fabrizio from Italy in Mexico.
Okay.
We're global. I mean, we got a Fabrizio from Italy who's in Mexico. Hi, guys. I just got to say, I love your show. Finally, after 4 months of working nonstop, I get a day off, and how do I enjoy a day off? With a cold beer and listening to Andy taking a shot at Paul for being a Hall of Famer. Ha, 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 ha. Love you guys. P.S. To all the guys who are listening from Mexico, let's get together to see the Patriots-Ravens game. That's Fabrizio Rolandin More.
Just so you know, Fab, I am in the Hall of
Fame. Fab 5 Freddy?
Sort of.
Go ahead.
Get it. That shoebox Hall of Fame you got.
Get it.
Oh, wow. This one says, subject, pregame social ain't what it used to be.
Oh, is this a Pac-Man hit?
I don't know. Hey, guys, Adam Jones, as the host of the PPGS, stinks. Oh. I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, but he simply does not fit the mood of that show. The PPGS is meant to fire us up prior to the game, but Adam brings little enthusiasm or excitement to the table. If nothing else, could you give him a couple bottles of 5-Hour Energy or something? And that's Johnny in L.A. Wow, and he's like a serious PBGS listener. That's not just like an off-the-wall rip job. It's a serious criticism.
Listen, he's been getting a lot of criticism. I don't get it. I don't agree with that. I think that the biggest sin that he committed last week, he ultimately was proven correct on. He thought that Arizona had a chance to come in and be very competitive in that game.
He took the points.
He thought it was crazy that they were two touchdown underdogs, and he butchered Andy and I the whole time. Fred and Eric also took the points. So, I mean, I don't know why. Would they be in any less enthusiastic.
I took the points. I just thought it would be a close game. I didn't think it would be a loss.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Andy and I absolutely destroyed Pac-Man for 2 hours. We're gonna take it.
Yeah,
he's gonna give it back to us on Sunday.
Deservedly so.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, when you're wrong, you're wrong. What are you gonna do? I mean, Andy will come up with some reason.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But you know, Aaron Hernandez got hurt in the third play of the game. I mean, sorry. I mean, if I had known Aaron Hernandez was gonna get hurt, I mean,
they were forced to play a guy they didn't want to play named Wes Welker, and that clearly hurt everything they wanted to do offensively.
Well, now we don't have to worry about it because we brought Deion Branch back, so we can have the former Super Bowl MVP having someone to talk to on the sideline with an All-Pro.
Terrence Sheehy chimes in, subject, Jeff in Vegas, would you shut this guy the F up? Jeff in Vegas making friends all over the globe. Dan in Virginia, g'day PFW team. 2 signings and 3 releases leaves an open spot.
Nope, 3 signings,
nope.
3 releases.
Nope.
Yeah. Actually, it's 4-4 because Greg Salas is now back on the practice squad.
Who do you replace?
Kerry Taylor.
Kerry Taylor?
The tool man?
Yeah.
Too bad. I skipped over kind of the stuff that involved the transactions.
Yeah.
I'm looking to go. Are there any Pats tailgating? Oh, shoot. I should have saved that other guy that had the questions about tailgating. Could have hooked up Dan with that. Remember the guy who asked us tailgating?
Yeah, but we didn't have any answers for him either, though.
I would just say meet Dan in parking lot 7.
Well, if you did you... There is a Yahoo group with the...
There's a Yahoo group, all right.
No, do you know how to do that?
Well, if you go on to yahoo.com and go into, I think, sports groups or whatever...
So you know very little...
So
slightly more than me.
You know about this much more than the two buffoons that tried to direct this guy earlier.
Yeah, but, you know, you can find it. It's not like it's impossible to find.
I said there's this guy, he's Barry Ince Young, he's on the internet, you can probably find him somewhere.
You could probably find
it. I said check it out on Facebook or
Google
Yahoo or MySpace, one of those.
Tweet Yahoo fan... groups.
F Corp.
It's F Corp, not Corp.
Sorry. Finally, just to throw an additional theory on the Welker pile, I like these. People don't want to talk about Welker, but they keep starting to talk about
Welker.
And just
so you know, we haven't talked about Welker all day.
Deal with it if you want to poke the hornet's nest again, or leave it if you're tired of yelling at one another. Adam Jones was speculating that he's carrying an injury. I wonder if his lower snap count was more strategic in nature, either to hide some stuff from Baltimore or to develop the depth of the wide receivers a bit. The latter should be done in preseason and practice, of course, but perhaps they wanted to see a little more of what they have with Edelman in a game situation, and because Arizona was going to be an quote-unquote easier game. They theoretically had the opportunity to do that with Welker out of it a bit more. Just yet another theory. I think the Pats have a good chance against Baltimore. They learned from their mistakes and held Rice in the AFC Championship game, but got burned in the air. Now they've got a better ability to pressure the quarterback, and I would say a little better secondary. What's more, they respect the Ravens, so we'll prepare hard. Ooh, interesting commentary right there. So hoping for a good result comes Sunday. Well, have fun at the game, Dan, and as Fred would say, we'll see. Brandon in California, I don't see why everyone is hating on Pac-Man. I think he is a good host. And also, what's up with Brady and Ray trash talk? It was like little kids. Yeah, I thought Brady looked like a poo-na-knee in that. Oh, you didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Did you see it?
I saw that.
Was from the title game?
What was Lewis said something, and he said the exact same thing back. What did Lewis say like?
I forget. It was like yeah, yeah.
And Brady gets up, yeah, yeah. He said like the exact same thing back to him. It was as lame.
This was during the game?
Yeah. Queer as a $3 bill, as Grammy Hart would say. Like, he dove and slid, and Lewis hit him, and he was, like, all pissy. But, came off like the biggest fairy on the planet.
Wow.
This is from Ed.
That's why you're deemed to be that negative one, by the way.
I didn't say he is the biggest fairy. I said he came off as. And it's well known that he's a metrosexual. His teammate called him the toughest.
Well known that he's metrosexual.
Wes Welker called him the toughest metrosexual and then never played again. So maybe that tells you something about keeping your mouth shut, Wes. Yeah,
again, Wes, enough with the comments.
Being an official
in the NFL
is a dream job. Where else can you make over $150,000 part-time and be part of the NFL? Do you really need more money and pension with this compensation for a part-time job? If you were offered a position as an NFL official, given your current PFW salaries, would you argue over compensation? Where is the line to apply for a permanent NFL position? I am sure you will have thousands of applicants. Paul?
I wouldn't worry about compensation. Of course I would.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, personally,
and you're also the best of the best. You're performing at the highest level with the game on the line. Every move you make is analyzed, is on national TV. There is a value in that.
Just so you know, I would want no part of that.
Am I being like a stupid shill for the refs when I say if when you signed on, part of the package you signed on to was a pension, then you have the right to fight for your pension?
Yeah, and
I'm all for the new guys not getting pensions. I think pensions are archaic. They should not. They're ruining this country. The costs are ridiculous. But that guy took the job in 1972 or 1982. Part of why he took it in
probably
his mind.
Probably not 72.
Probably not. He might be dead. Was that there was a pension. Like, I don't think you have the right to just rip it out of his pocket.
And I understand.
Because maybe he would have asked for more money had he signed up then.
Is the whole grandfather thing. I mean, I understand that pensions are, as Andy said, archaic. You know, not a lot of corporations are doing that.
Hardly any.
It's 401ks now.
Right.
And it's changed. But it's a drop in the bucket to continue to take care of the guys that you already told had a pension. We're not talking about billions of dollars. Okay. We don't do pensions anymore. So now...
Yeah, from here on out.
From here on out...
It's not like a municipality that has very limited funds and the pensions are really draining them into debt.
That's my point. You know, it's not like if we don't stop doing this, we're going to go broke.
Right.
So you put up with it for another 20 years with the guys that are left. And once those guys all cycle out, it's over. I mean, I don't understand what the big deal is.
Yeah,
I know I'm simplistic with my business thoughts and stuff like that.
I think they're just trying to crush them. I think the details are.
I think they are. I think you're right.
They're breaking them.
I think you're right.
I would break you, Goodell.
But some people believe that the game is suffering as a result.
Well, it is.
No, but they don't care. That's the thing that bothers
But they say
me.
They do.
They don't. They lie.
The league doesn't care. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming out with these asinine statements after every weekend's games about how much better these guys are going to get. Why are they going to get? Why do we blindly assume they're going to get better?
Right. Especially since most of them would be in better leagues if they were better. They wouldn't be doing the Lingerie Bowl in the Division III games. They'd be actually like Division II, Division I. They'd be real refs. You can move up if you're good. They're not good.
I agree. And I am not, as you know, I don't fully support the referees every week. But I just think it's silly. I would want no part of that job, to be honest with you. You know, to answer that question, I wouldn't be in line. And I certainly wouldn't be doing it sight unseen in terms of my compensation.
Right.
That's a high pressure job. That's difficult, and I would want to get paid accordingly. Not saying they don't get paid accordingly, but I'm saying I wouldn't just say, I'd do that, for whatever they're going to pay me.
I certainly wouldn't be doing it, in my opinion, for what they're making now. Everybody's like, $4,000. Well, what are you giving up? In terms of your life, other employment.
Yeah. My guess is you got a lot of school teachers that are involved in this right now.
No, but even your refereeing, are you going to be able to go back to your previous refereeing, which you weren't making anywhere near as money, but that was for the next 20 years. Say if you're 40 years old, you're going to work for the next 20 years at only $100 or $200, whatever it is a game, but for 20 years, there's some risk and some, obviously they're hated by the current referees and that year McIlvaney or whatever his name was. What's his name? McIlvaney?
Mark Bright? Jerry Mark Bright?
Mark Bright. This from David in Denver. I can't go a day without some sort of rant about Danny Woodhead, but I woke up this morning thinking, where would this guy be if Demps didn't get hurt in preseason? Speaking of that, I was just kind of rolling in one thought into another.
Write this email?
Yeah, I'm still confused why they put Demps on IR. Right after injury, it was reported that he was fine. Not sure if you guys talked about this in the preseason, but curious what your thoughts are on that front. If we keep Demps this year, I can see him replacing Woodhead next year. If we're going to have a third down back who can't pick up a blitz if his life depended on it, I'd rather have one of the fastest men in the world instead of a useless slug like Woodhead.
Wow. I don't know what the situation with Demps was. I don't know
what
they thought.
I'm guessing he's not one of the guys that bought a Woodhead jersey.
I just feel like they probably thought that he was going to need more seasoning in order to be able to be relied upon to play on any kind of consistent basis as a third down back. He could have been a kick returner, I think, from the get-go, but they probably weren't comfortable.
They don't need a kick returner.
They probably weren't comfortable putting him out there. And by the way, I'm as critical about Woodhead as anything. He had an excellent blitz pickup on Sunday. He saved Brady.
That sweep on third down, which was going to be a pass, he really sold that. That worked well.
I don't know why you have to be such a sarcastic,
on a separate
bitter
note,
little man.
Why is PFW
over a vicious jerk?
Oh, this guy really likes
to. We should probably get to the pick soon.
Can I finish the guy's email?
Can I finish?
He wants to revisit
can
something
I finish?
We talked about a million times.
Sure.
Go ahead, Ross Perot.
On a separate note, why is PFW TV blacked out on DirecTV? You guys should look into this so your fans outside of Boston can watch. Some Pats shows don't get blacked out, Patriots Wednesday Live and Quickslants. Thanks, guys, for the great work, and a big F you to the Ravens and an even bigger F to Bernard Pollard. Well, we're considered NFL programming, so they can't be aired in other teams' markets, out of markets. Those other, we're tied to the Patriots. Those other shows are not.
Well, I think that
and
they
you
also
can watch us on Patriots.com every Friday if you want.
Yeah, I think there's also a certain amount that they can show. I think that's why like Quickslants is deemed different, and the Patriots Wednesday, for example. I mean, that's directly Patriots stuff.
No. But we are seen as like part of the Patriots or something. Like, we're like Patriots programming. Like, Patriots.
Team yeah. Broadcasting,
I believe.
And Tailgate is, too. That's why they can't get
you. Oh, I didn't know Tailgate was blacked out.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Oh, I think there's a certain amount that they get away with in terms of, like, highlight stuff, too. But I don't really know. I almost just swore
because it's effing stupid.
And to be honest with you, they don't know either, the people at Comcast. We've talked about this, and they get confused by a lot of this stuff as well.
They're not that bright. We're going to get to the picks, Paul?
Yeah.
We only got 9 minutes to go, so let's go. We got a game tonight.
It's unfortunate that Freddie Kirsch is not here and probably going to go another week without making picks because he won last week, 12-4.
Jeez.
I went 11-5. Eric went 10-6. Andy went 8-8, which was like three games different than you were in the paper, by the way.
It happens.
With the spread, Fred and I tied.
I bet if you went around the picks consecutively, just didn't stop at the end and asked me to pick the same games over again, I'd have different picks as I could talk through.
Fred and I won the week with the spread, 10-5-1. Eric was 9-6-1. Andy was 7-8-1. For the season, I am 22-10.
And I keep the notebook.
Eric is 20-12. Andy is 17-15. And Fred is 14-5.
Wow.
With the spread, I am 18-13-1. Eric is 16-15-1. Andy is 14-17-1. And Fred's 12-6-1. Obviously, you might have noticed that there's a different amount of games for Fred.
Yep.
He only picked three games in week one.
And he may only pick three in this week.
New York Giants at Carolina tonight, Thursday Night Football on NFL Network. The Cam Newtons are getting one of eight home underdogs this week, Andy. It's a high number of home dogs this week.
Well, I know last week was a big home week. I believe 14 of the 16 games were won by home teams. I am not going to go with the home team here. I am going against the Carolina Panthers and the overrated Cam Newton. I'm going to go with the New York Football Giants, although somebody important's out for them.
A lot of Bradshaw, a lot of players.
Dominique Hickson, Deal.
That's a tough deal, but they're going to win.
I disagree. I will take the Panthers at home.
Smart pick, Eric. That's the correct pick.
Shut your microphone off.
I will take the Giants as well.
That's a dumb pick, Paul.
Next game is St. Louis at Chicago. Bears at home giving 7.5.
The Bears are giving 7.5. There's nothing I'd like more to do than pick against the Bears and Jay Cutler. So I'm going to pick against the Bears and Jay Cutler, and I am going to go with my white sensations to win outright, my Rams. Isn't Sam Bradford and Danny Amendola on the Rams? Aren't I picking the Rams?
Yeah.
Did you just call them
sensation?
Danny Amendola.
I know who you were talking about.
You said sensations.
Bradford Amendola.
Doesn't he have some Native American blood in him?
Oh, yeah, he does. Okay, so my tan sensation to my white sensation.
Yeah, that's much less offensive.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take the Rams.
I think the Bears bounce back from that loss. I'll wait for you to finish writing there, but I'll take the Bears and the points.
Yeah, because you like Cutler.
Oh, wait, so you like the Bears to win, but you like...
No, I'm sorry. Lay the points.
Oh, okay. I am going to split it down the middle. I am going to take the Bears to win. However, I'm going to take advantage of that half point. And I'll say the Rams only lose by a touchdown.
Whatever happened to SportsCenter? They got two bleeping boxers playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots on SportsCenter. Remember when you just watched it, you got the highlights and you left? You watched a game and you left? I mean, you got what you needed to know. Did you really need Manny Pacquiao playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Happens when they, gotta when hurry. They make SportsCenter go all day long.
But why can't they have a different show that's called Stupid Entertaining Stuff You Might Want to See?
They could do that.
They might want to come up with a catchier name.
Not sure,
not sure
that would be a ratings bonanza.
Okay, go.
Tampa Bay
at 55.
Tampa Bay at Dallas. Cowboys by 7.
Tampa Bay at Dallas. Right now, Tony Romo preparing for the victory formation, and he's protecting himself, ready to throw some punches. I think he will be in the victory formation. I'm still not sold on the Greg Schiano's, so I'm going to go with the equally unpredictable and
how about them Cowboys?
Cowboys, yeah.
I will take them to win. What was the number again, Paul?
7.
I don't trust that Cowboys team enough, so I will say.
Yeah, I do. Forget it.
I will say Dallas to win, but give me the points.
Okay, I will take the Cowboys. Not loving the Cowboys. I just don't. I think that they're annually one of the most overrated teams in football. This is no exception, but not sure Tampa's ready to go on the road and knock them off. So I will take Dallas. They're a good front-running home team. San Francisco at Minnesota. Niners favored by 7 on the road.
I will take the Niners to win and cover. I think Minnesota's stinky, and I think Christian Ponder will be pondering his future after getting beat up by that San Francisco front. Not a good game to be Christian Ponder.
No, the San Fran's going to come in there and roll. It's going to be Niners both ways.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Niners right now are the best team in football. A lot can change when injuries start to set in. And
best mediocre
see what
team in a mediocre league.
But I think that they're too much for Minnesota. Detroit is at Tennessee. Lions by 3.5.
Green Hay.
Fred didn't eat it. I'm offering John Rook a tuna sub.
He's nursing a hernia injury. He had surgery
this
morning.
No, he did. He had surgery this morning.
Yeah.
And he came in and then said, oh, I'm not feeling well. Can
someone drive me home?
But you might as well eat because we're going to do going to run over into your show a little bit because we just started picks and just letting you know. It's a tuna sub. We got some cookies. We got some Diet Coke water.
I didn't say
in
anything about you being able to have cookies.
I did, John.
Oh, I thought you were going to say about the Coke.
You're the best host in the history of the Patriots pregame social.
You are getting more and more.
That mic wasn't on, just so you know. Sorry.
Yeah, a lot of love.
Kevin's got to pat you up.
No one's hearing you at all right now, but you're getting a lot of love.
Now it's up.
Oh, now it's up.
Now it's up.
Now I'm
Detroit
up.
At Tennessee, Lions on the road by 3.5.
I am going to guess that the Lions stop the run because Chris Johnson can't run, and the Lions win.
And the Lions win by more than that number, Paul, on the road.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have complete faith in Detroit yet as a really good team, a consistently good team. But I was sort of impressed the way they held into that game despite getting thoroughly outplayed. I was impressed the way they, you know, when all was said and done, there was a one-score game and they had an opportunity. So I think that they go on the road and they beat an inferior opponent. Cincinnati, Andy, at Washington, the RG3s by 3.5.
This is a tough one for me because they kept it close last week in the losing effort, right?
Yeah.
They blew a big lead. They were up 21-3.
So they're going to score some points. I'm not sold on Cincinnati. It's in Washington. I am going to go with the best athlete on the field. I'll just go RG3.
I'm going to go with the slightly more experienced quarterback, and that's Andy Dalton.
The red rifle.
I don't really like him, but I think in this game he has a little bit of an edge, so I'll take
What is all the race stuff? You're going
to
get us thrown off the air.
Why is it okay to say the red rifle but not the black rifle?
No, but you're bringing up race.
Because the red rifle has nothing to do with race.
What color is RG3's hair?
He's going.
I have no idea.
Black.
With you.
I think black. Andy was making a sexual joke.
I don't think so.
Joke.
I'm pretty sure it's black.
I don't really know if I've ever met anybody with black hair. It's usually brown, blonde,
black to me.
Red.
I've seen plenty of people with black hair, and it looks black to me.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I'm taking
the
Bengals.
You can only call quarterbacks after their red hair, not their black hair.
Well, one has to do with race, and the other didn't. But
actually, it doesn't. One has red hair,
oh
one has
God.
Black hair.
Let's
they both
move
have
on.
Color hair.
Who did you pick?
I already picked Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
And I also don't have a problem saying a nickname based on a guy being black because he's black. Because you know what? Because he's black.
Okay. That's good. I don't. I do have a problem with that.
See, I don't.
Jets at my. Okay, you don't. Fine.
So
I
it's,
do.
It's okay to say somebody is like the great white hope, but.
I don't like that.
White chocolate.
I don't,
all those are
I don't
okay,
like doing
but
those.
You can't do the other.
I didn't say what other people do. I don't like doing them.
Well, I didn't know
all.
You
it's
were sensitive.
Opinion.
I thought you were the one who
I'm
said
not
you should be able to make
don't.
Fun of everyone, but you can only make fun of the Italians. That's the only thing that's allowed these days.
I'm gonna be
and the Catholics.
I'm going to be completely honest
right,
and upfront with you. I'm
yeah.
only afraid about losing my job. That's the only reason why I don't like
it. You know what? If we lose our job, then we lose our job. It's stupid. I'm sorry. That's the problem with this
and
world.
And I would wholeheartedly agree with you.
That's why kids in Rhode Island, where John's from, can't have father-daughter dances because this world is stupid.
Right.
The world is stupid.
Now,
everybody's oversensitive.
Now, Andy
and
Hart,
you can't
I'm
talk.
100% on board
but
with you.
But the bottom line is, I don't understand why you could talk about a guy with red hair and not a guy with black hair. That's
the
thing I don't understand.
If you were just talking about his hair, then I don't think that people would perceive that as you're talking about his hair.
Well, then why don't they think that he has red skin? I don't understand the difference.
Would you call Tony Romo the black rifle if he had black hair?
I don't think he has black hair, so no.
You know, would you
call him the dirty blonde rifle or whatever he has? Well, I can't even picture
can
what
you
he
think
has.
Of a white quarterback with black hair? Would you call him the black rifle?
Drew. Drew doesn't.
Drew.
Have
brown hair. I mean, to me, it's brown hair. But I mean, that's.
But he thinks brown hair is black hair.
Yeah, that's kind of what
think
I think.
You think RG3 and Drew Bledsoe have the same color hair?
No. But I don't think that one's black.
What color is my hair?
I think RG3's what's hair is black. Your hair is probably dark brown.
Dark brown. Yeah.
All right.
But RG3's is. I guess I'm being offensive here to say RG3's hair to me looks black.
Andy,
I'm sorry
know,
I offended entire you know
me well enough.
Or something.
You know me well enough that
or apparently
it didn't,
just Paul.
You know me well enough it didn't offend me, right?
Well, okay.
I'm just saying in terms of my job security.
So we only I don't know why you're worried about your job security.
Yeah, there are.
So you're going to get fired because I said RG3 has black hair?
Well, I don't want the show to go away or anything. And no, I don't want you to get fired either. I mean,
I'll be honest with you. I'm more than comfortable being fired for saying that RG3 has black hair. I'm more than comfortable.
How long are we going here?
Too long. Jets at Miami. Jets by three
John
on the road.
Doing a half show today. What is the game?
Jets Miami. Jets by three.
I'll take the Jets, but Miami stinks.
Yeah, they got a surprising win last week, though, but not this week. Jets will go on the road and win.
Joe Philbin's going to be like, you know, guys, it was a good win, and I'm not saying it was a great win, and I'm not saying you should question me or trust me. If you have problems, this is not a dictatorship. Come talk to me.
I will take the Jets, but not feeling great about it. Don't think a whole lot of either one of those teams, and usually I go with the home team in that regard, but I will roll the dice and go with the Jets. Kansas City at New Orleans.
What color hair does Ryan Tannehill have? I'll tell you what color his wife's hair is.
Blonde.
Not sure the carpet matches the cushion.
Oh,
Kansas City is at New Orleans, the Saints by nine.
Oh, boy.
Is this 2-0-2 teams?
Correct.
Yes.
I am going to go with the home team just because they should be the better team. And through 2 weeks, I picked the Chiefs because I like Romeo Crennel, and it didn't work for me. So I'm sorry, Romeo. I got to go the other way.
Lay in the points.
How
nine?
Many?
Nine.
Oh,
big,
yeah.
Big number.
If the
big
Chiefs
number.
Fall, they fall.
I think they put up a little bit of a fight. Saints win at home, but Chiefs cover.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I'm going to take the Saints, and I'll lay the points. But, man, they are in disarray. That defense is terrible.
No, they're in disarray. They're on their third head coach of the season, and they're in disarray.
Buffalo at Cleveland. Buffalo by three on the road.
Buffalo at Cleveland. Whedon's Richardson.
Whedon played very well last
week. CJ
Spiller.
Better than the week before.
He
didn't get caught
Buffalo.
Under any flags either.
They're the more well-rounded, better football team.
They on paper, yeah, which is why I'm going to go with them to win and cover. I don't have much confidence in this game, though.
Yeah, I am been somewhat impressed with Cleveland defensively, but I am going to go with Buffalo here. I think they are a better team.
I heard a good line this morning about Lane Kiffin's. They should put cardboard surface down at the Coliseum because USC is always good on paper or something like that. It was very good.
Nice.
See that douchebag?
No. Yeah, 28-second
press conference. I saw you tweet.
Because people were asking about
like
injuries.
That? Lane Kiffin, 28 seconds, just walks away.
Lame.
Douche.
Yeah, I
so,
agree.
I mean,
has
like,
anyone
totally.
Ever been a bigger douche having accomplished nothing in life than him?
Probably not.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I would agree
so
with that.
He has this air about him. Like, Belichick is accused of being a jerk to the media and whatever, but
At least he's accomplished
great.
Something. Yeah.
He's great.
Right.
Hell, Monty Kiffin could walk off after 28 seconds. You've never done anything except earn jobs that you didn't earn.
Correct.
Get jobs you didn't earn.
Yeah.
I meant that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Nope. You earn jobs you didn't earn.
That's
you're
another Andy
in the right direction, Andy.
But not having seen it, were there questions? And he just like he
there
said
were.
Something
there
and
was
left.
He
one.
Said,
he did his little opening 15
right.
good practice today. The yeah. I thought the running game, the passing game were good.
Somebody asked a question about.
You can't hear. That's the only thing I didn't like. I couldn't hear the question.
There was SportsCenter played with the captions on the question, so it was something following up on something he said about the game or the practice, and they said, "Is this going to have anything to do with so and so, whatever player it was that was out?" And he didn't answer that first question. Then somebody else on the other side followed up with an injury question.
And he was fuming. You could see
and
him like
he was getting mad as he was asking it,
making
and,
faces,
and he wouldn't let the guy finish or woman, and ran off the. Podium, basically.
I want him to get his someday, and he hasn't yet. He's
yeah.
skated.
He will.
He has skated.
He will.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Colts by three in
I'm
a bid to
Colts.
Go 2-1.
I think Luck is on the Colts
yeah.
side.
Yes, he is. He's actually in their uniform.
Not Lady Luck, of course, just Luck.
Well, his mom's
well,
a lady.
Rooting, I
right.
guess. Yeah, so Lady Luck's on the Colts side.
That's right. I'm going to go with the Colts at home, too. I think, the Jags are really falling apart quickly here, aren't they?
The Jags.
They stink. I will take the Colts.
Next year they'll be good, though. Taylor Price will be healthy.
Philadelphia. Our boy Tyquan Underwood got re-signed.
Back to the Bucks.
By the Bucks. Philadelphia at Arizona. Eagles by 4 in the desert.
Ooh.
Kevin Cobb against his old team.
Cardinals, yeah. I don't know if you've heard, they've won 9 of their last 11 dating back to last year, off to a 2-0 start this year. Their defense is legit. And the Eagles like to turn the ball over, got some playmakers on the defense. I am going with the home team.
I'm going with the playmaking potential of the Eagles quarterback on the road.
Petui. He's going to break a rib on the first hit of the game.
Eagles will go out 3-0.
They won't earn it.
Yeah, I think the Eagles haven't played well yet, and they're 2-0, so I think they find a way to do so. And I pick against teams in this kind of a situation a lot. Arizona feeling pretty good about themselves after that win last week. They're not mature enough to handle this when they go down. Eagles win and win big. Atlanta at San Diego. Chargers by 3.
This is an interesting game.
Very interesting game, Andy.
I am going to go with the Atlanta Falcons on the road. I am not sold that San Diego is all that good.
I think I'm going to go with San Diego only because they're at home.
And you picked them in the paper.
I have fallen into the Falcons trap so many times. Thank you, Kevin. So I'm going to go with the Superchargers.
This is Eric's happy
song. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I agree with Andy.
Which you're
I'm
dancing not, to right now.
I'm not sold
it's
on.
Happy. This is a gay little song.
I'm not sold on San Diego as a team. But I do like them at home. I don't think Atlanta's very tough.
Good job with the soda, John.
I think Eric's...
Fred spilled it all over the desk yesterday.
Eric's sort of comparison of those two teams, I think they are very similar. I think Atlanta and San Diego, I think, are perennial underachievers.
Sure.
I think
Atlanta
Diego,
usually better at home than on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a legitimate reason to pick against them.
So I'm going
to
take the Chargers. But I agree with Andy's premise that the Chargers aren't as good as they've looked so far.
I think people still think the Chargers...
Are the Chargers from 06.
Yeah. And I'm like...
They're not that talented anymore.
No. Right. I look at it and I go, well, no, and no. And if Rivers is not going to be lights out, then I really say, well, why do you think they're good? Like, it's not there to me. You know, on paper, a team is good. I'm not sure they're even good on paper anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're not terrible, but they're not as good as people think. Every year they think, you know, oh, what a terrible job by North Turner, terrible underachievement.
Well, yes, but no.
You know, they're not that talented anymore. They're good, not great. Houston at Denver. How about the open to the season for the Denver Broncos? Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Houston. Yeah, that's right up there with, you know, Seattle. Patriots have to play. Tough one. Denver is actually a home dog. A rare
by
underdog at Mile High.
As they should be. As they should be.
By 2.
Yeah. Houston Texans will go
better
there
team.
And show old Mr.
Peyton Manning how to play quarterback.
That there's, you know, pressure in this league and there's guys trying to hit him.
Yeah.
And a pretty good defense on the other side of the ball. And you better learn how strong your arm is and what throws you can and can't make at this point. And I saw last night he said of his arm strength, it is what it is. And then I am what I am.
Yeah, if I were a Denver fan, that would have worried me.
Nope. That's kind of like when Mark Herzlich told me at the combine, no, I'm completely healthy.
Yep.
Well, then Ryan, you run a 5-flat.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling good about Peyton this week and against a good defense and a good team. And they're just, I think they could get
fear
toasted.
That front seven.
Toasted.
Fear that front seven of Houston because they're going to come after Peyton and they're going to get him. So I say Texans roll.
He's laying his neck on the line.
I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with the upset. I think the Broncos, I think it's tough to win in Denver, and I think that they're going to
isn't it tough for the Broncos to win out. In Denver?
No.
If you're just saying it's tough to win in that city, it's weird that they would choose to play their home games there.
I might kill him today, folks. Pittsburgh is at Oakland. Pittsburgh by 4 evidently will be without Palamalu and Harrison again.
Good Lord.
You like that?
It's just all pros on the sideline everywhere. Palamalu, Harrison, Welker. I mean, it's just half the all-pro team.
And Welker's not hurt.
It's true. Or maybe he is.
He's not lonely anymore either. He has Branch and
right. Super Bowl MVP to hang out with. Yo, you getting screwed too. I am going to go with the...
Another unoffensive comment.
I know, right? No, that was Welker talking.
Oh, okay.
There was no, like,
sure,
Ebonics. No, that was...
Sure.
You said Branch is there, too, and he goes, yo, you getting screwed, too. He's talking to... crying out loud. Everything's about race.
Don't hit the console!
I am going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Oakland Raiders are total debacle. I mean, they have one of the most overpaid players in the NFL, and Darren McFadden, according to Forbes magazine.
Forbes magazine, John Rook, came out with a top 10 list of the most overpaid players in the NFL.
Right.
How do they judge that? Forbes magazine.
Has to be clearly their opinion as to, you know, high salaries and underperforming.
No, but how are they making?
Yeah, they got some guy who should be analyzing.
You know, like Vernon
trends.
Davis was one
Maybe
of the guys.
Maybe they hired a sports guy.
Maybe. Yeah.
Don't we have
freelance?
Don't we have some PFW rejects that could operate as Forbes?
No.
None that I would feel comfortable with saying whether or not there was a guy that was overpaid.
We have the rejects.
What do you like, Pittsburgh or Oakland?
Pittsburgh.
It's like a 1970s playoff.
It is.
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Oakland. I like the Steelers too. Sorry, Andy. That was when football was football. You would have liked it back then. It's too bad
I know.
You were so young.
I like hitting, unlike you.
Too bad you weren't born yet.
You would have liked football back then.
I don't protect my play. Oh, Sean Lee, don't hit him.
Oh, it has nothing to do with that.
Let's go. We
get
games
underrated.
To get in. It's 2:11.
Green Bay at Seattle. I got to do a radio thing in like 5 minutes.
Green Bay at Seattle.
Green Bay by 3.5 on Monday Night Football.
Battle of Mike Holmgren's former.
These teams have a lot of history together.
Where's Bill when we need it? You know?
How long are we going here?
Just make
I
pick.
Am going to go with Green Bay.
I'm going to go with Green Bay, too, on the road.
Me, too.
Better team.
All right.
That was Fred Kirsch-like analysis from the three of us.
Up to the Patriots game. Ravens by 3.
Go back. Oh, no, we don't have to go back.
No, it's the last. Night, yeah. Did we already do Monday Night Football?
Yes.
Oh, so we have to go back.
Yeah. We skipped over the Sunday night game to go to the Monday
Sunday
night.
Sunday Night Football prime time.
What's the number?
I am
3.
Torn. I am going to be totally honest. I'm torn.
Revenge by 3?
I don't have any gut feeling on this game. I think the Ravens could blow the Patriots out of the water. I think the Patriots could win somewhat convincingly. I think it could be a 23-20 field goal game again. I am going to go with the New England Patriots simply because it's been a decade since they were 1-2, decade plus. Tom Brady wasn't even the quarterback back then when they were losing games to start the year. The guy's name was Drew Bledsoe.
They were 1-2, but they were 3-4 with Brady as the quarterback.
Right, but they weren't 1-2. I said 1-2, not
3-4. 3-4 is worse than 1-2.
Historically, New England bounces back from
He's
losses.
Going to argue with me.
Yeah, I do.
And
I got an edge. I got an edge right now.
You're the white-haired rifle.
I got an edge. I got a tricky.
Ooh, you got a racist
trigger finger.
Historically, they bounce back in games like this after losses, but I don't see it. This is a tough opponent to do that against.
Negativino taking the Ravens.
Taking the Ravens.
Holy Moses!
Wow. To win and to cover.
Wow.
Four points.
I'm borderline stunned.
The bald bruiser.
I really
like that one in there.
I really can't remember you very often picking against the Patriots.
I don't.
He's a super fan, except when he gets his feelings
I'm not a
hurt
super fan.
With a bad loss at home. He proves that the next week. I'll show you. I'm going to pick against you.
Nope.
Don't ruin my credibility.
I am going to take the Ravens. I do not think this will be a blowout, however. I know a lot of people are sort of predicting really bad things.
I am, too. A blowout.
For the Patriots.
One way or the other.
4 points.
I think this is going to be a good old-fashioned rock fight, a kind of game that Andy Hart likes.
Big
defense,
hits.
Some hard-hitting.
Ray Lewis, Ed Reed.
But I think,
Gerard Mayo making those big
hits
end, now, too.
The Ravens will force more field goals than the Patriots will.
So you like Justin
Tucker? Red zone. I think this is a red zone game. No, I think the Ravens will force more
really
field goals.
Wrap it up. Now, do we actually close
I have
this
an
show?
Edge.
Do we actually close this show, or so you are going to reset it?
No,
we're going to start John Rook around 2:15, 2:20.
24-16. I like the Ravens.
You're stealing today, John. Rook.
John Rook in the
stealing
playbook.
Money.
What's
going to
do it?
What's
for the last show?
Progress?
What's the last show over there? Hi ho.
Football Nation.
Hi. Football Nation at 4 o'clock with.
Just tune in then.
Way to be prepared.
With a couple guys that are going to tell you about everything that's going on across the NFL. Until then, enjoy being inside the playbook with John Rook. Peace out.
Fred, come back.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly.
Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.